much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yeah, this is the place, man.
It most certainly is, my friend.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Asperger's is serious, but unfortunately, because of its name, people think it's a disease to be made fun of.
Wait, there's a disease called Asperger's?
Yes! You are so lying! There is no disease called f***ing Asperger's!
That's pretty funny, Chet, but why don't you leave the joking around to the professionals?
Speaking of guitar, you know, you had, you know, one of your biggest hits that we play on K-Rock. The name escapes me. What's it like? Sorry.
What it's like.
What it's like.
Wow, how disappointing was that question.
And now, welcome, swingers. Pull up a groove and get fabulous.
Our feature presentation.
I forgot Omar's interviews.
They're not good.
Omar's. He was on fire, too.
But I think he's generally a lot better than Newman. But I just think he had a bad day that day.
So I have a bad day, maybe.
No, but you have a bad day every day.
Oh. Right. So. Well, you're bad. That's the thing. Omar is not bad. He just had a bad day. That's the difference. Speaking of Beer Mug, by the way, and I know we have a tremendous, very busy show today. I know we have a lot to do. We didn't get a chance to mention on the air yesterday that Beer Mug, after the weigh-in, after he lost a pound, celebrated by drinking honey directly into his mouth at the end of the show yesterday.
Pouring it right into his mouth.
And then today I had a little conversation with him off air where he told me, you know, he feels pretty good because he's lost 6 or 7 pounds already, whatever it is, he says, and that's been half-assed. But now he's hardcore. Now he's going full steam ahead. He's definitely going to win the bet and lose the weight.
Did he cliche you to death?
He didn't. Oh. But then I found out he's having hot chocolate this morning. Right now he's drinking hot chocolate.
Is that bad? Is that terrible? Well,
only 80 calories in one cup. And,
as opposed to Lisa May's coffee, which has 5.
Which has none.
But, you know, it's early. I'll have time to burn it off.
That's what he always says.
So everything is early.
Every morning. It's early. I have time to burn it off.
Yeah. It's better now than before I go to bed.
Agreed, but it's better to not do it at all. You know, that's the one option that you're leaving out, is that if you didn't do it at all in the morning.
I know it's only 80 calories, but that's – I mean, I think coffee's about 5 calories. I mean, why have 75 extra calories if
tastes
you don't
better.
Need to?
I'm using the calories as opposed to the caffeine this morning, which is fine.
There's sugar in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm using that to wake me up.
Yeah, but no. That just ups your blood sugar, then your blood sugar drops, then you're hungry.
As long as I have money on this, let's not give him tips.
All right. Okay. You're right.
But Lisa said it best with, yeah, but no.
Yeah, but no is the correct answer.
Sums it up, right. All right. What do you think the most – I don't have a list in front of me, but I'm guessing the deadliest natural disaster in the United States that kills the most people every year. What do you think it is?
Tornadoes.
Tornadoes
by far. Yeah. I mean, we're lucky. We live in earthquake country, and in Southern California, you occasionally have fires, and that sometimes kills people. But there's a lot of parts of the country where you really got to worry about floods, you really got to worry about tornadoes, and that's a bad deal. 550 people died in the United States via tornadoes last year, by the way.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
It is.
So yesterday, they just barreled through Dallas-Fort Worth like nobody's business. There were about a dozen of them, and there's some unbelievable video that, you know, everybody's got a camera now on their phone, and there's unbelievable video of these tornadoes just, you know, lifting up trucks like toys and roofs coming off houses and stuff. And I brought in one tape that I thought was really good of this guy who's just, I think he's talking to himself. You don't hear anybody else, but he's basically doing play-by-play of this tornado. And I thought it might be fun because everything is more fun when you put money on it. Make
sure.
A bet. We're going to play 90 seconds of this man's tape.
Right.
And we're all going to guess, although I know, so I can't play. We're going to guess how many times he says, oh my God, in the 90 seconds.
In the 90 seconds, how many times do you say, oh my God?
And I'm going to give you a starter by playing the first few seconds. So you get a hint of what kind of guy he is. And then you can all place your bets.
Oh my God, tornado right on the top of my house. Oh my God. Oh my God.
All right, that's how he starts.
Three. You're going to play 90 seconds. All right.
We're going to play 90 seconds. Now, I'm not saying he continues at that furious pace for the whole minute and a half, but it seems to be the most common thing people say on video when something is happening, no matter what. You know, every time we put an Internet Roundup video up of a guy watching a car go off a cliff or something, it's always, oh my God. So what do you
90
think?
90 seconds. I'm going to go with three. I'm going to go with 40.
40?
25.
Mugs?
I'll be in the middle of Kevin and Lisa. I'll go 35.
You'll never be in the middle of Lisa.
No one gets between us.
All right. So 90 seconds on the clock. Let's count it. Let's listen to his hilarious play-by-play.
Are you
going to
dig a buzz?
I can. It's I better can if we count, though. We'll I think it's better count. If we actually okay. say the all number right. instead right. so we can all keep track. Here all we go.
Oh, my God. One. Tomato right on the top of my house. Oh, my God.
Two.
Oh, my God.
Three.
Oh, my God.
Four.
Please. 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 Please avoid my house. Please. Please. Oh, my God.
Five.
Oh, my God.
Six.
Oh, my God.
Seven.
Look at that. Look at that. The debris fly. Oh, my God.
Eight.
Please. Oh, shoot. Oh, Buddhist bless America.
Huh?
Oh, my God.
Nine.
Oh, Buddhist. Please look at that. Someone roof flying up about 200-300 feet. Oh, my Lord.
Ooh, different.
Counts.
Oh, my God.
Ten.
Oh, my God.
11.
Look at that. Holy. Holy smoke is about a block or two away from my house. Look at that. Oh shoot. Oh shoot.
Oh shoot.
Oh holy shoot.
What?
Look at that. Oh my God.
12.
Oh my God. Look at
13.
that. Oh my God.
14.
Right on time that I grab the camera and run out to my house. The backyard of my house and recorded. Look at that. Oh, my God.
15.
I'm shaking.
And time.
Oh.
15. Who had 15?
Lisa, she was closest.
Wow. Lisa was closest.
He would not swear.
He
did
won't.
You notice? Oh,
that's
my shoot.
And, yeah. Oh, my shoot.
There's
and holy
no way
shoot.
He's saying a bad word.
Wow, that's crazy, especially that considering is, what's going
mm-hmm.
on.
It was a couple of hundred feet from his house. I mean, he saw, a neighbor's roof just coming right off, you know, right there on his block. But that's the thing about tornadoes. We've all seen these pictures, the aerial shots they do afterwards of these towns sometimes, is one side of the street can be gone and the other side of the street could look like nothing happened.
Yeah. Oh,
but
my
it was,
God.
Yeah, and I mean, would you guys, if you were by yourself in the house and you were shooting the video, would you be talking? Would you be doing play by play?
Well, it sounded like there was somebody else there, but I think I would probably,
but more like there's my neighbor's house, there's his roof.
Yeah, maybe
right.
if you're planning on showing,
and then oh shh. as I dove for cover.
There's no holy shoot
yeah.
or whatever he said.
Well, he apparently was fine, which I'm glad to see. But I just thought that was super interesting to see that first-person perspective on what it's like to basically live through a tornado going down the middle of your street.
And the thing about that is when you see something like that, words fail you. You cannot describe.
Yeah.
So you end up saying stuff like, oh, my God, over and over and over again because it's too difficult to put into words.
Yeah,
and
true.
Avoid my house, avoid my house, avoid my house, which I think all of us would be thinking.
Yeah,
you know,
no kidding.
At the time is, please, not me.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Is this going to be like one of those horror movies where we open the door and everything's normal and we think you're crazy, but then there really is a killer robot and the next morning you find me impaled on a weather vane?
I hope not. I can make no promises. We have Josh Lewis, who is the host of Repo Games.
Mm-hmm.
Love that so much. This is the show where they take a camera crew to your house, and they're going to repossess your car, and they let you win it back by answering really relatively easy questions.
Super easy questions.
Right. So you have to answer three of them correct. You get your car back. They pay it off as well. It's one of the best shows ever because
nice
the people that are being asked questions don't know anything.
That show sucks.
Wrong.
Oh, come on.
Wrong.
No, Jawad.
Wrong, sir. Felipe Esparza will be in the studio.
Excellent.
One of our comedians from April Foolishness. And speaking of April Foolishness, which is Saturday night, we have your tickets in the pit. Right in the pit. They put seats in there. And we're calling it the We're Better Than You section. We'll give you a t-shirt that says We're Better Than You on the back of the shirt so that everybody behind you can see it. It's about as obnoxious as you can get.
Yes.
That's basically our plan. And you get parking backstage and you get a meet and greet and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to give you those tickets today. We have a surprise for you at 7:30. I think you're not going to want to miss this. We have Adam West on the program today.
He's getting his start.
Adam West!
Talking about getting a star on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
How about that? Patrick Warburton will be on the program.
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
From Rules of Engagement and from Family Guy.
And that's coming up this morning. So we'll take a quick break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beatnik.
Got to do yourself a favor if you haven't checked out KevinBean.com or KROQ.com today and look at this David Lynch video for his new solo song called Crazy Clown Time.
Mm-hmm.
The song's honked up, but the video is honked up times 100. And it does have topless chicks in it, if that helps you, if that inspires you. If you want to get your day started right, go to KevinBean.com or KROQ.com. Check out the video, and we will talk about it coming up next after the top of the hour. It's 5:53. If you happen to be sleeping next to Ralph Garman right now, whoever you are, go ahead and just roll over and nudge the boy. Tell him to come on into work. In the meantime, let's take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Before Jay Leno hosted The Tonight Show, there was a guy named Johnny Carson. I bet a lot of people, don't even know who Johnny Carson is. Never heard of him. Never saw a show. Don't know anything about him, right?
Yeah, I bet so.
He hosted the show for about 30 years, The Tonight Show, which I thought, honestly, that was probably a record that was going to stand forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be broken because David Letterman signed a new deal yesterday for another couple of years of doing his late show on CBS. And with this new contract that goes through 2014, he will become the longest running late night host in TV history. He's been doing late nights since 1982.
Wow.
It's a long time. You know,
it is a long time.
That's a lot of work to do a show like that, too.
Yep. It is. In television, you know, there aren't very many things that last that long. Even the most popular shows are off the air in a few years, but he has managed to keep it going for over 30 years. They also renewed the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson for another couple of years, which is great because I like that show very much, too. But congratulations to Dave.
Yeah.
So it's also a lot of work if you're going to be banging some of the writers as well on the
side. That's true. And keeping it a secret.
That's right. Yeah, keep it a secret. That's a lot of work sometimes. Lauren Conrad.
Yes.
Oh, we haven't heard about her in a while.
Topless cover shoot in the upcoming Glamour magazine.
Really?
Now, does Glamour show that? They don't, do they?
No.
It's one of those hand bra things or one of those.
Yeah, exactly.
It's artistic, Kevin.
It's one of those fake topless things where you really can't.
But it's, look at me, you forgot about me, here I am.
What's worse than tasteful nudity? That's what I have to say.
Inside the magazine, Elsie talks about how she's actually petrified to be seen in a bathing suit because a photographer once zoomed in really close. And showed
and probably
cellulite.
Blast her butt on Star Magazine.
Yeah, put it on the magazine. Yeah. It was like, look at this. Look how out of shape she is.
I grabbed those magazines. It is terrible.
Oh, that would suck if you're a star. Really?
Kevin just referred to Lauren Conrad as LC, by the way. Did anyone else notice that?
That's what everyone says.
That's what everyone says, Bean. The photo shoot is apparently a way for her to also plug her upcoming fictional book, which we've talked about before on the show called The Fame Game. And I don't know where she got the idea, but this book is about a bad girl who loves to cause drama on her reality show.
Huh. That's what she wrote about?
Yes.
Interesting. What would she know about that?
Usually they say write what you know, but apparently she's stepping way out of her comfort zone with this one. She's making it
Lauren
up.
Conrad, or as Kevin likes LC. To call her, LC. She has over 2.5 million Twitter followers. And I want to know why one person would follow Lauren Conrad. And I'm being serious about that. What do you expect you're going to get from Lauren Conrad's Twitter feed?
I don't know. I know that she has a fairly successful website.
Does she?
That has to do with fashion and stuff. So it's probably an offshoot of that.
I've given up on the trying to understand why people have Twitter followers. I mean, you know, like when Bieber, it's obviously Justin Bieber has, what, 20 million or something?
I think he's like at 18.
And
he's a terrible tweeter, too.
Yeah, that's not they're not good.
But at least he has a career. At least he has songs and videos and movies and things going on and, you know, television shows. Lauren Conrad, I mean, Lisa may be right. Maybe she has a fashion
line.
She has
fashion tips.
So she has a fashion line.
She's makeup tips.
2.5 million people are following Lauren Conrad on Twitter?
Now I know how to do my hair.
So Lisa's one of them, apparently.
You don't understand.
Here's great movie news for Kevin and no one else I know. The sequel, the official sequel, not the the low-rent, no-stars sequel, but the real sequel to Dumb and Dumber is happening with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure.
What happened to Jeff? He was doing good work.
Yes, he was.
Aww.
You're not sure what, Kevin, that the world is ready for Dumb and Dumber, Dumb and Dumberer, or whatever they're going to call it?
I'm not sure I am.
Really?
I mean, I like
you. Must have loved that movie,
of course,
at the time,
at the time,
everybody loved it at the time.
But
it was a huge hit.
It was, but it was also so over the top that you had to kind of. It's like eating something that's too sweet. You know, it was just kind of like after a little while, you go, "All right, tone it down a little."
Yeah.
And I also have to ask, and maybe there's nothing to this, but I mean, these guys are in their 50s now. Does it seem? I mean,
Yeah.
That seems like a young man's game, doing that kind of that kind of comedy. You know
what
I mean?
Come on, that's Jim Carrey's trade right there.
But isn't it just a little bit sad if you're Dumb and Dumber and you're 55 years old? Isn't that kind of just sad?
Well, they're not really Dumb and Dumber. They're actors.
I know, but I mean, just to watch those characters be retarded and old, I don't know. It's like Sylvester Stallone
being Rocky again.
Yes, it's not for me. I do know that, but please enjoy.
E! Online reports Katy Perry's ex, Russell Brand, who must have unlimited funds, because he could take $20 million from her in the divorce, according to the laws, and said no thanks. He's also signed over all the rights to their humongous 7-bedroom, 9-bathroom, $6.5 million Hollywood Hills mansion for no monetary consideration.
Wow. He's
the
just
most
give,
civil
give, give.
Divorce in history, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy. This is a 3-acre property with a swimming pool and a pub and a huge home theater and a study and a guest house.
Well, wow. He can't have a pub.
All of that stuff.
He's sober.
No, but
you take it, honey.
Yeah, is he trying just to give everything away? Is he that good a guy?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's not a woman in the world that's not going to think he's the most wonderful thing ever after this.
Well, that's true.
That's pretty smart.
You're right. He's good looking. He's funny.
He's generous.
He's not pretty smart if he was able to get $20 million and took none. Here's what you do. You take 10, you still look like a great guy because you could have had 20. But you get 10.
Yeah,
that's a
point.
Smart guy.
I can't look. He had sex with Katy Perry.
Yes.
He's the smartest guy in the world.
Okay, all right.
And let me close with this. This is some sad news. You guys, maybe you don't remember the name Crazy Town. That was a popular band a few years ago. We played a song called Butterfly quite a bit here on K Rock.
Yes.
I think they even played a Weenie Roast one year. Here's a little bit of that song.
Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar.
Well, one of the members of that band, Shifty Shellshock, we also saw him on Celebrity Rehab a couple of years ago.
That's how I got to know him.
Yes, yeah. He is apparently fighting for his life. He is hospitalized in intensive care. He is in a medically induced coma right now.
Oh, man.
Apparently, he got into some sort of a fight with the mother of his children, his baby mama, Jasmine Leonard, who lives in Britain, by the way. And after the fight, he took 25 GHB tablets and then smoked some crack on top of it.
Mm.
He was scheduled to return to a drug treatment program 3 weeks ago, but said he wasn't ready at the time. And apparently now he's really not ready, but he is in a coma now. And his baby mama, like I said, who lives overseas, didn't know anything about it until, you know, she saw it in the tabloids, which is kind of sad. Didn't even realize this was going on.
He is a testament to the resilience of the human body, because how is he not dead?
How
already?
Is he not dead? Dr. Drew did everything he could to kill him, but apparently Shifty Shellshock lives to smoke crack another day.
Although, didn't you size him up as one of the people that was going to fail? When you see him on there, you just go, oh, no, that guy's
just loves it so much. In such bad shape.
What are you going to do?
I love that show, that Celebrity Rehab, and I'm sad that there aren't going to be any more. But you're absolutely right, Kevin. There are some people, and Mike Starr from Alice in Chains was another one, that you got the impression watching him. Look, God bless Dr. Drew and the staff for doing everything they can to get this guy clean. It's not going to stick with this one.
Yeah.
This guy's too far gone.
You sure get that feeling. Celebrity birthdays today.
Poor Shifty.
Author poet Maya Angelou is 84. Music executive. That's one of my favorite poets. That's why I bring
it up. That's why I celebrate the day.
I love poetry.
Who, by the way, used to work as a madam in a prostitution booth. I don't know if she did the actual hooking herself, but she worked as a madam.
That's awesome.
Young up-and-coming person. Yeah.
Music executive Clive Davis is 80.
He's the best.
Craig T. Nelson. Guy used to be coach.
He's on Parenthood now.
He's on Parenthood. 68 years old. Writer-producer David E. Kelly is 56. Hugo Weaving, the actor from The Matrix and Lord of the Rings, is 52. Comedian David Cross is 48. He's funny in everything he's ever done.
Yeah.
Actor Robert Downey Jr. is 47 years old.
Iron Man.
Singer Josh Todd of Buck Cherry is 41. Magician? Question mark?
Yeah.
David Blaine?
he's a magician. Yeah. He just doesn't want to do magic anymore. He just wants to sit on a block of ice now for a living.
39 years old. Natasha Lyonne from Slums of Beverly Hills and American Pie is 33. And actress Jamie Lynn Spears, Britney Spears' little sister.
Wow, there's a name we haven't heard in a long time.
Is 21 years old.
Is that all?
21.
Oh, my God.
21. She can finally drink. Isn't that good news
for
her?
She's been waiting so long.
That is the
TV's Adam West. from the Batman series, Family Guy, long career, long history in the movies. He's getting a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame tomorrow. Our own Ralph Garman, if he wakes up in time, is going to be speaking at that ceremony. And we'll be talking to Mr. West coming up in about a half an hour or so. Next hour, we got a super secret surprise right around 7:30 you won't want to miss. And also, we've got tickets in the We're Better Than You section for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness this Saturday night at the Gibson Amphitheater. Of course, completely sold out, but you can win your tickets today right here on K-Rock.
We're going to be looking for your punchlines, by the way, so get them up, get them ready to go. Your best punchline. Not the joke. We don't want the joke. People tell jokes poorly. We just want the punchline.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting story. You know, science. God bless scientists.
That's what I'm always saying.
That's what you're always saying.
Yeah.
Scientists spend a lot of time trying to figure out why the human body does what it does. For instance, one day I honestly believe they're going to crack what causes cancer, and then they'll be able to come up with some way to fight it. Well, they're also trying to figure out what is it that makes us die? Why does the body just wear out? Of course, they see that organs fail and everything, but they're wondering if there's something deeper than that. So they're always looking for the secret to immortality, and sure, they may have found it. And there's some good news and some bad news.
Vampires?
Hello? Baby vampires.
Is this thing on?
There's good news and bad news. The good news is they have found a living creature on Earth that is apparently immortal.
Really?
That lives forever. It does not die.
What?
Now, it's a worm, so it's not exactly a human being, and it may not work exactly the same way. This is a flatworm that British scientists have found, and they think that part of what makes it able to be able to live forever is that it is asexual.
It never has sex.
It does not have sex.
How do they reproduce?
Isn't it interesting that they just break off pieces of themselves to create new creatures?
Really? So I would like have to cut off my arm if I wanted to have a kid?
Yes. The worm splits lengthwise or crosswise and regenerates into two separate living worms. And it does not reproduce sexually like humans.
And they don't die?
And they don't die.
Have they not taken over the world yet?
It does seem like they could make as many of them as they wanted, right? Yeah.
They're worms. I'll remind you. That's why they haven't taken over the world.
When there's enough of anything, it seems to me, bad things happen.
So what you're saying, Kevin, is they can't shoot a gun or drive a tank, right? Because they're worse.
There could be a lot of them, and yet I can still step on them.
So then I think the question is: all right, let's say they find out. Let's say that we're just this fantasy talk here. Okay, this isn't going to be what's going to happen. But let's say the scientists come to us and they go, humanity, we cracked the code. And the code is you can't have sex anymore and you can live as long as you want. Now, some of you are going to have to keep on having sex because that's not how humans reproduce. We need to keep making new babies. So you guys over here, you go ahead and have sex if you want to do that.
They can be in my group. Go ahead.
You guys over there don't have sex anymore and you live forever. Do you take that deal? The scientists come to us and say, here's how it works. Never have sex again. You live forever. Do you say yes?
Now, here's what happened. Bean read that story to us off the air during the commercials or, you know, one of the songs, and then followed it up immediately with, I would make that deal in a second.
Yeah, oh, like, I'm way in. Thinking about it.
He didn't even consider it. That's the thing. He's already not having sex.
Right. So, no biggie.
He hasn't had sex in 20 years, so of course it's an easy deal to make. I was an instant no.
Because you have sex every 15 minutes. Look, part of it is, I can live without that. But the other part of it is, you know, I have the morbid fear of dying young. So that's why this is easy peasy for me, is because that alleviates one of the biggest fears in my life, which is that I'm going to drop dead young.
But so you live forever, mm-hmm, and then everyone that you know, like, you know, your dad, your brother, you probably wouldn't care, but like other people that you know.
No, I would care.
Would pass away.
Beyond that, you're not going to have really good female companionship because you can't get the job done.
That's true.
So you're going to live alone, essentially, for the rest of your life. Well, but for the rest of your ever.
But that's what Bean wants, is to live alone.
Oh, that's a good point.
This is perfect for me. I'm just going to live. I'm going to get myself a dog, and I'm just going to live in an ice hut in Norway and just be happy as a clam for the rest of my life.
You'll have had 1,000 dogs.
But look, you're going to be crying.
You're going to be in the fetal position in your little cabin, crying for sweet death.
You're going to be stabbing yourself
in the stomach and stabbing yourself in the neck, and it just won't do any good because you can't die.
I don't like the idea of immortality. That just sounds at some point like it would be terrible.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You get tired of it.
Forget the sex.
Look, I don't know if you would or not. I can understand and I can accept the argument that you would get tired of immortality.
Yes.
I can. But here's the other thing. And by the way, we're going to take your calls on this if you are either for or against the idea of trading sexuality for immortality.
But you would never have sex, Bean.
Hey, would you be able to have sex with yourself?
Well, I mean, we're making up the rules here, so yeah. Let's say no. Let's say you orgasm, you die. How about that?
It's like Eddie Murphy's movie, You Talk,
no,
You Die.
But no, you orgasm. But see, that's a safety net in case.
Oh, because that gets you out of the immortality.
In case you're tired of immortality, that gives you a safety net.
Oh, okay, so you can do that and then die.
No, what I'm saying is you can't do that. Nothing will happen.
Oh, all right. It's physically impossible?
You're dead down there.
Okay.
Correct.
But now you're saying you don't even have urges?
Because then that takes all the desire out of it then, if you have no urges.
You have to have urges. But you have
all right, you have urges, but the junk doesn't work.
Okay. Right. Correct. Okay. Okay. Now,
so now we've established.
So
you have urges,
forever.
But the junk doesn't work.
So you're going to come across literally billions of women that you want to have sex with and can't. That's what you want?
That's what my life is like now.
I know, but
that's true for you. Seriously. I'm watching Alita Loreska do the weather right now, and I can't have sex with her. That's the same as what you're talking about.
No, but I have a shot at it.
But here's why, again, we're going to take your calls if you want to weigh in on your opinion on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. Here's why I want to live forever, though. Because every time a new invention comes out, like the iPad comes out, and you go, wow, the iPad is great. How did I ever live without this? People who died yesterday didn't get to know how awesome the iPad was. And then it makes me think, what's it going to be like in a year? What's it going to be like in 5 years? What's going to happen when I die and the next day they come out with something super awesome, some amazing electronics that I'll never get to hear about? And that's my big fear, is I'm going to miss out on all the cool stuff that hasn't been invented yet.
I so am not worried about that.
Yeah.
You know
really?
Why? I'll be dead. See, I plan my life being so that I know that by the time I'm about 80, I'm going to burn out. I've planned it that way.
Yeah.
I've gone
living
out,
fast.
I drink a lot. I go to a ton of shows. I go to sporting events. Yeah. By the time I'm 80, I'm just going to be out of life and I'm just going to be gone because I don't want to
be fine with that.
Yes. Because I don't want to be a 90-year-old in traffic slowing everybody down. You know how much I hate the old people.
Right.
So I don't want to be one. Now, would you stay your age, or would you stay you at your best age, or would you, like, how would that work for life? For infinity.
I mean, look, we can make it up as ever we want, however we want. I think we're assuming that you are accepting immortality in exchange for sex, but you are not going to be in pain, and you're not going to be.
So you live healthy. It doesn't matter to me. I'm still a no.
I think you're going to live healthy, or healthy-ish at least. I mean, you may be old, but you're not going to be, you know, on life support or something like that.
Lisa, right, wouldn't do it for what reason?
So much beef.
I know. I know that's true.
Come on. I got a lot of work to do.
We have to take a break. Lori, please hang on. Sam, please hang on. Anyone else who wants to call, would you trade no more sex for the rest of your life to be immortal, to live forever? 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Michael Jackson on the world famous K-Rock 106.7.
Nope. Yep.
What? Alien Ant Farm.
Oh.
Unfortunately, they were unable to join us for this year's 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Rose D Fiesta. No room for the Alien Ant Farm, but we do have Coldplay, Incubus, The Offspring, Silver Sun Pickups, Pennywise, Angels and Airwaves, Dirty Heads, Garbage, AWOL Nation, Group Love, Walk the Moon, and the band that debuted at number 2 on the iTunes album chart yesterday. Their new record is out now called Of Monsters and Men. They're playing our show, and they're selling huge right now. You can get details on how to make sure you can buy your tickets tomorrow at noon. If you're a K-Rock Street Team member, all those details at krock.com. All right, so we're talking about this worm that they found that lives forever. They think in part perhaps because it is asexual. It does not have sex. Is that a deal you would take? Give up sex in order to live forever? We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Lori. Lori is on line 1. I can't tell if Lori is sad or happy about the prospect of this deal being offered. Hi, Lori. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa.
Hello, Lori.
She's not up.
Not happy with either, I think. You would have immortality, but no sex.
I think I would be quick to choose immortality, and then I would become the queen of masturbation and die a futile death.
Can't,
trying
though.
To
oh,
orga-
trying, I see.
Trying to orgasm.
I gotcha.
She would just exhaust herself into death.
But we're saying you wouldn't die. We're saying you would be immortal. You would just be miserable because you would be wearing yourself out every night trying to do it.
I guess that's all I would be doing.
But see, then to me, you're making the wrong decision because if sex is that important, you choose not
his
life.
I don't know. Maybe I would die, or I would definitely go bankrupt buying toys to try.
Okay, but here's what we're saying that you're not understanding. Immortality means you don't die. So forget all the things about choosing immortality and then dying. That's not an option.
I know. I come to these quick decisions because it sounds so enticing.
Watch your language.
Can you understand?
Yeah. Why don't you just say, I'm going to pass on the immortality. I like sex too much.
I don't know, because then I couldn't masturbate forever.
Okay. For no good reason.
Lori's honked out.
I think we've exhausted Lori.
I know she's exhausted me. I know that. Let's talk to Sam. He's on line 4 here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He has almost a real life story that kind of goes along with what we're what we've made up here. Hi, Sam.
Hey.
Hi there.
This is Santa Monica!
Well done.
You've been away too long, sir.
Let's try Fernando. He is on line 5 on the Kevin DeBean Show. Fernando, you live forever, but no sexy time. What say you?
I wouldn't want to live forever.
Me either.
How come?
Because I think living forever just takes the fun out of doing anything.
It just gives you the opportunity to do more fun things. Whatever fun things you have in mind, you've got plenty of time to do those, and then another 1,000 you haven't even thought of yet.
No, but it's not worth it I think a lot of things that we do are worth it because you know that you're not going to be able to do them forever, or you may just die tomorrow. So you won't. I think that's why it's worth to do a lot of things we do.
So that's what gives the life that you live now meaning, is that you're not going to be able to do it forever.
Yeah, I just feel like the more you, like, if you live forever, you just get tired of living and you just want to die.
That's what I think.
I'd rather just die. And,
it's not like we're giving you.
I don't want to give up sex anyways. Like,
Bean?
It's also like we're not giving you millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, you got to earn a living, Bean.
Right.
For the rest of eternity.
I earn a living now.
I can
earn a living. It's not that hard.
But there are people who don't earn a great living, so they work really, really hard all the time.
So those people you think would rather die than have to continue
to
work?
You want to do this job for 1,000 years?
No, I'll find some better job. All right, let's try Ryan. Would that be hilarious, by the way, if I was on my 40th Kevin? The Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin number 40 joins us Monday. Don't miss it. The last guy died at 91.
But we're bringing in
a new Kevin. We're just bringing a new guy all the time. Ryan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think about all this nonsense?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Hi. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Immortality or normal life with sex?
I would choose sweet death with sexual experience.
That's what I
would. Okay.
Look, sex is part of the human experience, and I would be okay living maybe 60, 70, 80 years having that fulfilled experience instead of living forever miserable like Bean.
Agreed.
Yeah, no one wants to be Bean.
Agreed.
I don't feel miserable, man. Imagine, I have time to watch the box set of every TV show ever made. That's how much I have if I'm immortal.
But for regular people, Bean,
that's not Nirvana.
It's not a huge positive.
I don't know. I got quite the backlog. I'm already worried about running out of time on catching up with stuff. I'd like to go back and watch The West Wing from the beginning. You think I'm going to have time to do that if I'm going to die a normal, you know, live a normal lifespan? Probably not. But if I know I'm going to be immortal, I'm going to go ahead and start that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. We are unfortunately out of time on this. So I think the consensus is most people are with me, right?
I didn't get the sense that was the case. No, Ralph Garman just woke up, so he's finding out what all you know, that traffic blows at this time of the morning.
So he'll be here probably in time to talk to his Lord and personal savior, Adam West, who joins us after the top of the hour, talking about tomorrow's Hollywood Walk of Fame star ceremony. So, yeah, I think Ralph will be here in time for Adam West, maybe just not for Kevin and me. In the meantime, though, let's take a look at the showbiz beat. I thought we were done with hearing about this Levi Johnston kid, but he's back. He's the one who impregnated Bristol Palin, Sarah Palin's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And remember, he was just like a burnout. He looked like he was on drugs. I don't know if he was, but he's stupid, and he was just a hippie. And then they had to clean him up like overnight, instantly, once Sarah Palin became, you know, John
McCain's.
Right,
put him in a suit and all that.
Put him in a suit and flew him out to the convention and everything and said, whatever you do, just sit there and look good, look like you're a responsible human being, and don't talk to anybody. But he's done a bunch of interviews, and he's just a moron. Well, the reason he's back in the news this time is that he's knocked up another chick.
Sweet.
He just impregnated 20-year-old Sonny Oglesby, and he says, here's his quote, that the twosome is, quote, looking forward to raising the baby together and maybe eventually getting married or something. So that's the quote from Lena Johnson.
Wow.
He better get some really good jobs because he's got two kids he's going to be paying child support for now.
You're so cute the way you think he's going to be paying child support.
And he's like 20 also, right?
Oh, these people are so stupid.
I mean, I think he wrote a book about his brief experience dating Bristol Palin and being around the Palin family. I think he probably got a little bit of money out of that. But, I mean, if you've ever seen him interviewed, that's about the most he's ever going to make.
And don't
he's,
forget about his Playgirl.
Oh, he did the Playgirl. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm sure that was a pretty penny.
I got him nothing.
So Levi Johnson's back in the news. Excellent.
Chloe and Lamar.
Yes.
Over? I believe so. That's what everybody's saying.
I bet she hates living there.
Sources tell Star Magazine the rumors of cheating, Chloe's infertility issues, Lamar's career move to Dallas. A lot of pressure on all fronts.
Yeah.
She doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. And they're about done.
Well, I'm always happy when their Kardashians are sad. So now Kim's been sad. Now Chloe's sad. Now we just got to work on effing up Courtney's life, and I'll be pleased. Here's a interesting story. You know, there's political correctness, and then sometimes there's political correctness gone too far. And I want to know what you guys think about this. A Burger King commercial that had been running featuring Mary J. Blige, very popular singer who I love, by the way, has been pulled because there were too many complaints from, you know, websites and organizations saying, hey, you shouldn't have a black woman advertising chicken. Because that just reinforces the stereotype about black people who enjoy chicken. Now, to which I say, there are lots of black people who enjoy chicken. Just like there are lots of white people that enjoy chicken. Because almost everybody enjoys chicken.
That would have never entered my mind until this person complained about it.
So, I mean, why can't a black person advertise chicken just like a white person can advertise chicken? I don't understand. To me, this is going too far. And this is in the category of things we've said many times before where they go, well, I'm not offended by it, but I'm sure somebody is. So that shouldn't be on TV. But Burger King has pulled the commercial.
See, that's the problem. Burger King pulling the commercial is the problem. You say to those people, noted, you're upset. We are sorry you're upset, but we're going to go with it anyway because we don't believe it's racist and black people enjoy chicken just like white people. So sorry about that. Eat someplace else.
Be like JCPenney, man. Fight the fight.
Right. Yeah.
One website called Madame Noir, which is a website geared toward black women, called the commercial stereotypical and said that Mary J. Blige is guilty of buffoonery.
Yeah. Oh, dear God.
But I mean, is she allowed to eat chicken?
Although you do,
or no?
You do get points for buffoonery.
If you have the opportunity to hire someone like Mary J. Blige, who is beloved, you hire her to do your ads because it's going to work because she's going to sell products.
No question.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
I get the complaining because there are people who live to complain.
Right.
They have to be upset about something or they'll just pass away.
What's their point in being if they don't have something to complain
about? But then the rest of us need to go back to the way it used to be, which is, okay, whatever, and just move on.
Right.
Knowing that 99% of the population does not agree with them. Our company being right up there in the front. Of bowing to one complaint.
All right, we're going to cut this a little bit short because we have an action-packed 7 o'clock hour. Adam West is going to join us right after the top of the hour. Then we've got tickets up close in the pit in the We're Better Than You section of the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness 2012. And then we need to make sure we stay on time for our super secret surprise in about a half an hour from right now. It involves very famous people doing what they're best at, and I can say no more. But about a half an hour from right now, we have a huge surprise for you that you are absolutely not going to want to miss. Today's celebrity birthdays. How about Clive Davis, by the way? Here's a guy who has just been making platinum records for 40 years, 50 years maybe in the music business. He's currently working to bring Aretha Franklin back. They're working on a new record together. He is 80 years old today. Actor Craig T. Nelson, famous for Coach, now seen on Parenthood, is 68 today. David E. Kelly, the writer-producer who's behind, what, Ally McBeal and Boston Legal. And
a lot of great shows.
Boston Public. Yeah, a ton of great shows. He is 56 years old today. Hugo Weaving from The Matrix and Lord of the Rings is 52 years old today. Arrested Development's David Cross is 48. Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., 47 years old today. Actor Barry Pepper is 42. From Buckcherry, Josh Todd, 41 years old today. Magician David Blaine is 39. And Natasha Lyonne, who is going to be in the American Reunion movie this Friday, is 33 today. And that is the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We got this, Ralph. Don't worry. We got this.
I think you guys can leave the room.
You slept in.
I know. I needed to be rested. I needed to be rested just for this interview.
You woke up at 6:30. We had to do two showbizzes.
And you must be tired. So right. Take a rest.
No,
take
I'm
a break.
Saying we got this interview.
Take a coffee break.
We're sort of on a roll, so we're good.
Go down to the food truck lounge and grab yourself something.
We got this. Don't worry about it.
No,
this is the Kevin and Bean Show here on a very, very exciting Wednesday. Super secret surprise for you in about 25 minutes. First, though, tomorrow, Ralph Garman, if he doesn't oversleep, is going to be on Hollywood Boulevard at 6764 in front of the Guinness World Records Museum. Everyone is invited to come on down for free to watch. Well, Ralph, why don't you tell people what you're going to be doing down there in Hollywood tomorrow?
There's going to be a little event held in Hollywood tomorrow where they are honoring a legend, an icon, an all-around good guy. Adam West is getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Man, you've been talking about this for years.
It has been literally years that we've been trying to make this happen, and tomorrow's finally the big day.
And I got to say, with not much help from Adam West himself.
He cares less about it than I think any of his friends or family, really. But we think it's very important, and we're glad it's happening.
Adam West, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you today?
I'm in great shape. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Would you say that is accurate, what Kevin said, that you did less to get this star of the Hollywood Walk of Fame than almost literally everyone you know?
That's what my wife says.
Well, Adam's always said it's not been a very important thing to have happen for him, but those of us who are close to him thought it was an important thing for him to get, and we're glad it's finally happening, sir.
Well, look, I'm on the way to the star, okay?
You're already on your way?
Yeah.
It's not till tomorrow, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. You might want to go back and get a little more rest.
Yeah. Anyway, Ralph, I want to thank you guys. I know what you've done, the effort you've made about this. And
Bean and I especially.
A few, Kevin and Bean, you're leading the way.
That's right.
And it's really appreciated.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. It is a big honor, and it's the type of thing, you know, not to get corny or anything, but I mean, it's one small measure of another feather in your cap, another way to say, man, I made an impact. I'm immortalized. I mean, 100 years from now, people are going to walk down the street, and they're going to look down, and they're going to go, who the F is Adam West?
How dare you?
I'm just saying, you're going to have something there in the sidewalk for the next generation, and I think that's nice.
I don't think that's true. I think 100 years from now, Ralph's going to be standing on it, explaining to people who he is.
I'll be polishing it. That's for sure.
Well, the same hands that made my star, I understand, made all the great cathedrals in the world.
That's correct.
That's true.
Yeah, that is accurate.
Adam actually posted some pictures on his Facebook page of the process where how they make the star, and
I never knew
how they did that. They lay the brass in before they lay in the cement and stuff, and it looks cool.
Now, not to take any time away from Adam West, but I am also just as fascinated, Ralph, with what it must be like for you, who as the tiniest boy were obsessed with Adam West on television. He is literally your boyhood hero.
Yes.
And not only to get to grow up and know the man and become friends and work with, but to be speaking at the ceremony where his star gets laid onto the Hollywood Walk of Fame. What's going through your head? Can you even wrap your mind around this?
Well, I'm done. I know that. My career is over. Everything has been building towards this moment, and now that it's over, I can rest.
You've won.
I can go into retirement and be a happy man.
It's good news.
I hope you're through with me, Ralph.
I am not, sir.
he's been trying to shake you off of his leg for 5 years now, hasn't he?
I'm not leaving you alone. I'm sorry to break the news to you.
I get the sense Adam went along with the star just so that Ralph would leave him alone.
What are you going to say tomorrow? How much thought have you put into this, Ralph?
Well, his whole life, Bean.
I've been writing this speech for about 30 years, yeah, so I think I'm in good shape. But tomorrow I'm going to speak, and Seth MacFarlane, creator of Family Guy, is going to be down there. And then Adam, of course, gets to say a few words. Are you excited?
Ralph, I speak.
Yes, that's what I said. You get to speak a few words.
Adam speaks.
I've written a half hour about...
Excellent.
Half that's hour.
You, Ralph.
So you're about halfway there then with the half hour.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be something, I got to tell you. It's going to be something, and I've never seen Ralph so happy in all my life.
I think it's wonderful, well, Ralph, what you've done, really. You're a raconteur, you're a film critic, you're an actor, but you're a great pal.
Well, thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. I want you to know, the next step, I'm going to try to get your face on Mount Rushmore.
Thank you. You're a distinguished collector.
And Ralph, tell people again exactly where it is and what the deal is. Anyone can come down to be there in person, right?
Yeah, we'd love a large crowd. It's tomorrow at 6764 Hollywood Boulevard, right in front of the Guinness World Record Museum.
And I'm in there.
And Adam is in there, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
He's got a world's record for the most performances ever as Batman.
That's a real record? That's a real record, Adam?
That's a real record.
Really?
And another one.
You're there twice?
What's the other one?
as the actor who's waited the longest for a
Star Walk of Fame.
Well, I wasn't going to bring up that 2,467 other people got on the Hollywood Walk of Fame before you did, because honestly, that's not what's important here. What's important is that tomorrow's your day, Mr. West.
Oh, thank you.
Are you excited at all, Adam? Are you looking forward to it?
I am. I'm so excited. I'm going to go walk the dog.
All right. Fair enough.
Is that code?
No, it's not code. Okay. We're wasting Mr. West's morning is basically what's going on.
Burn off some energy.
You guys are terrific. Thanks.
We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Felipe Esparza joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, is going to be on stage for April Foolish's 2012 this Saturday night. What a great lineup. Brad Williams is going to be there. Will only the people near the front of the house be able to see him?
Correct.
Tim Minchin, of course, Eddie Ift, Jim Jefferies, Bob Saget, Larry King, you heard me right, Jay Moore, Eddie Izzard, and of course the April Foolishness house band, Cleto and the Cletones, from our friend Jimmy Kimmel Live's show. We're giving away tickets right now. Kevin, explain to the people on hold and those listening at home how it works this time.
We want a punchline, only the punchline. People tell jokes very poorly. So just tell us your punchline. And okay. Then we're just completely subjective. We're going to pick whichever one we have to hear the joke from.
Because the punchline is so awesome.
Yes.
Okay.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah!
Punchline, punchline, punchline. Can you tell us a punchline today? Make us laugh, you'll scream hooray. Don't be stupid or you will get dissed. You won't get into it for foolishness.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take as many as we can and then we'll decide. Let's start with Bob. Bob is on line 5. He joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is punchline for tickets. Hey, Bob, what's your punchline?
Yeah, you don't know how many inches you're going to get, and you don't know how long it's going to last.
How many inches you're going to get or how long it's going to last. I like it. Hold on.
Thank you so much. Hang on. We may come back to you. Chris is on line 7. Chris, what is your punchline, please?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Your punchline.
Boobies.
All right. Hold on.
All right.
We're Let's a fan try, of those. I'm not sure it's a great punchline, but all right.
He said boobie instead of boobies, I think. And yeah. That concerned me a great deal because if there's only one, that means something bad has happened in the joke. How about Guillermo? Guillermo is on line 8. Looking for just your punchline here, Guillermo. What's going on?
A racist bastard. I'm sorry, a pilot, you racist bastard.
Okay, you screwed up the punchline. Right, you're so, really going to screw up the joke.
So you started with you racist bastard. Then you went back and said, a pilot, you racist bastard.
Right.
All right, okay, good. Hold on.
What do you call a black guy that flies a plane? All right, let's try Alex. He's on line 1. Alex, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your punchline, please?
Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Hi. Yes, try to keep up, Alex. We're playing a game.
Hi, little May.
Hi, right. Alex.
Your punchline.
Because it's pure concentrated.
Because
it said pure concentrated.
Oh, my God.
See, Kevin, what did you say when we started?
I said people can't tell jokes. Apparently, they can't tell punchlines either.
Isn't the punchline the easy part, guys? Once you get to the punchline, the hard work has already been done. All right. I'm not intrigued by very many of these yet, but maybe Leo will turn me around. Leo on line 2. Thanks for calling. What is your punchline, please?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Because he's afraid of anybody finding out he's screwing the chickens.
He's afraid of anyone finding out he's screwing the chickens.
Okay.
Thank you. Right? Thank you. He needs that one. Just because. It's because he remembers the chicken that he had put down. All right.
No, that's not what it is. Steve, come on. Save the bit, man. Give us a great punchline, Steve. What do you got?
All right. Punchline is kick his sister in the chin.
Now, there's a guy with the delivery.
Yes.
That's impressive. I like that.
Kick his sister in the chin.
All right. So Alex has, because it's pure concentrated, Leo with the screw in the chicken, Steve with sister in the chin, Bob with you don't know how many inches you're going to get, boobies is what Chris had to offer, and Guillermo had a pilot, you racist bastard. We're definitely not going to have. All right. Who do you like? Who do you guys like a joke you want to hear for April Fool's?
The only person that delivered it was Steve.
Yeah. I think we have to go with Steve.
I think it's Steve's to, I think he's in it to win it, as Randy Jackson says. Steve, let's hear your joke, man.
All right. The joke is, how do you circumcise a redneck?
Oh.
Kick his sister in the chin.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. Not only we're better than you section tickets, but also the t-shirt. You get the backstage party with Kevin and Bean, and you get the parking at the Gibson Amphitheater too. My friend, thank you for calling. We will see you Saturday night.
Thank you guys.
Nicely done.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
Yeah.
Punchline, punchline, punchline.
7:31, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, Kevin, a lot of times we hype it up. You know, we say, hey, you don't want to miss this. It's going to be really great.
And then we're lying.
they go away disappointed because, yeah, frankly, we rarely deliver on the promise.
Correct.
But this time when we said super secret surprise, big stars, new project you're going to love, I don't think we were overstating the case because, ladies and gentlemen, from the band Soundgarden, Chris Cornell and Matt Cameron, hello, both joining us on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, boys.
Hi.
How's it going?
Hi. Good.
Fantastic.
Good. Is Matt there? Where's Matt?
Matt, are you there? Was he on the other line? Oh, he's transferring Matt now. Hang on 1 second.
We're going to have Chris and Matt here in just a second. Chris, how you been, man?
Yeah.
You been good?
Good. Very good. Very good. Matt and I are not in the same city, as you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
Kevin and I are not in the same city, too, but we make it work, man. Come on.
So that's not a secret anymore?
No, it's never been a secret.
No, it's never been a secret. The last time Chris joined us, he was coming on to promote a new movie song from the Machine Gun Preacher movie that you ended up winning a Golden Globe for. I think that's the last time we talked to you.
But technically, Matt and one of you are in the same city, right?
Yes, that is correct. Matt and I are lovers, and then you and Kevin are lovers. So I think it's working out great.
Matt and I are lovers is a song that has yet to be written, but I will think about it. And you and Kevin are lovers.
That's not
true.
It
will be the B-side.
That's right. I like it very much. All right, do we have Matt yet?
He's still being transferred. Let's talk about the song.
Let's talk about why you guys are going to be on today, which is because although we've been excited that Soundgarden has been back together and has been doing some shows and there's been a lot of talk, there hasn't been new music yet. But you're calling to break the silence today, right, Chris?
Well, sort of. I mean, we've been working on an album for a while, and it's taken a while because we've ended up touring a few times in the middle of writing it and recording it. So we took breaks. As well as doing other stuff, and that is, we're pretty much done with that. I mean, we're at the mixing stage of it, and then this idea came up that we would contribute a song for the Avengers film, and so it's actually the newest song that we have. The rest of the song that's on the rest of the music that's on the forthcoming album, we've been working on over the last year and a half or 2 years.
So then you just whipped this one up for the movie?
Kind of, yeah. We thought about, well, let's take a song we've been working on for the album, but none of them were really right, you know,
uh-huh.
So which happens sometimes. So we thought, let's do another one. I don't know, that's the beauty of it.
How do you write a song for a movie? I mean, do you have to watch the whole thing first and kind of get the feel for it, or they just tell you?
You have to sort of take into account what it is in a big general way and then try to ignore that.
Okay.
Because ultimately, especially with, you know, Soundgarden is a band with a musical identity, and each member of the band, Matt, Ben, and Kim, and I all kind of have our own concept of what that musical identity is. And so when we make an album, we all kind of steer into that in our own way. And then we also try to push the boundaries of what that means to us. And that is a lot more difficult than to sit down and say, oh, I'm going to write a song for a film. So the first thing that has to be done is that it has to be a Soundgarden song that fits that musical identity, and then above and beyond that, it kind of has to make sense for a movie.
Do you have arguments about what is and what isn't Soundgarden?
Always,
yeah.
Not so much arguments, but discussions for sure. Like there's been songs that have come up in the past. Black Hole Sun's one of them where everybody liked the song, but none of us were sure that was something that fit into what we thought of as a Soundgarden song musically, or, you know, the identity musically of the band.
It turns out it was accepted.
The beauty is we as four members of the band get to kind of decide ultimately what that is.
Right.
And so we can make decisions that change that, or in a sense just kind of push the boundaries of it.
Try to stretch, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a certain amount of unpredictability because someone can come in with an idea that none of us would have ever thought of as fitting into a musical concept of a Soundgarden song, but it works great. And the other thing, too, is I think when the four of us play something, no matter what happens, it sounds like us.
Yeah, of course. Because it is you.
Exactly.
This is Chris Cornell here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are getting ready to world premiere the song we have been discussing. It is from the soundtrack to Avengers Assemble, which is the Joss Whedon film that is coming out on May the 4th. The soundtrack is going to be in stores on May 1st. There's a lot of great bands on the soundtrack. We'll talk about that a little bit more and find out what is next for Soundgarden, find out how the new record is going and so much more. But first, if you wouldn't mind, Chris, could we world premiere your brand new song first any place in the world here on K-Rock right now and then come back and talk to you?
That's great.
And if I fail, what happens then? Can I still count on you as a friend? We're insane.
This brand new Soundgarden world premiered here on the world famous K-Rock. That is from the Avengers Assemble soundtrack. The movie comes out on May the 4th. Soundtrack comes out on May the 1st. The song is called Live to Rise. Here's what I love, Chris Cornell on the phone with us here on the Kevin Meacher. Here's what I love. You go into the studio, you spend all that time, you write, you record to perfection in a million-dollar studio, and then you listen to it for the first time on the radio over a phone.
Exactly. I really like a really crappy phone, too. This is a bad handset one.
Chris, I got
to
tell you.
To take it away from my ear for a second because it was bothering me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's how music sounds best, is over a crappy phone.
Well, you know what the cool thing about it is, and this never, it never stops freaking me out, is that this was written so recently and recorded so recently, like last week, whenever it was we did it. I went to Seattle, we recorded it there. I barely really remember it. It happened so fast.
What?
And now it's happening, I'm hearing it over a phone. It's like coming back through the phone.
You should do the rest of the album that way. You'd be done like in a couple of weeks.
Why don't you guys just play like our next album, for example, now, so that I know what it is.
I would love to. Trust me, when we get a song like this, which is awesome, by the way, we get so excited because so few bands are making music that our format can play. And it's really fantastic for us because it means we're not going to have to play, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers Snow again, which we love, but we play it a lot. So we're happy to have this one.
We're going to play
we're
going to play the brand new Soundgarden song again, by the way, in about 20 minutes at the top of the 8 o'clock hour and then again at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. So definitely tell your friends. Now, you mentioned how this was a song you guys wrote specifically for the Avengers movie. It wasn't something you were already working on for the next Soundgarden record, but is it similar in sound? Would you say that's kind of indicative of where the band's at right now in 2012?
There's some elements of it. Yes.
I hope so. Cause I love that.
Yeah. I mean, there's, yes. The answer is yes. I think that this song, Live to Rise, is pretty straightforward
compared to some of the other songs. We have some pretty crazy ones. And then we have some more straightforward ones, too. And because we haven't mixed, it's hard to get an idea exactly of
right.
what it is. But, yeah, this kind of fits.
I also wanted to ask you this. Because the band took a break for a long time before you got back together to make this record, had you changed a lot as musicians? I mean, obviously Matt went off and had a whole other career as a drummer for Pearl Jam. But, I listened to Kim.
But failed to learn how to work a phone.
But can't get on the phone on time, right? But then I hear Kim's guitar, and I mean, it's unbelievable. I bet he's learned a lot of new tricks. You're probably a better singer than you were when you guys first separated. I mean, do you find like you have a whole new skill set to bring in when you get back together after that long a break?
I notice in the studio, everybody is kind of faster, knows more about how they can get what they want to get, which that was always our difficulty as a band. You know, we knew who we were, we knew what we sounded like on stage, so the first few years of recording, the hard part was how do we make that sound like this on tape.
Right.
It's not as easy as it should be. It should be, you just put up some microphones and play live and it works.
That's how we picture
it. But there's a lot of places you can go wrong, and I notice now that everybody seems to have a better understanding of how to get what they want in the studio really quickly, and how to communicate it to a guy that's recording you, there's 14 years of experience more.
That's got to speed up the process. That's got to speed up the process pretty well.
Yeah, and also things have changed in the world of recording in the digital age, so that there's choices that you have to make, and it seems like everybody has a good handle on what about the digital age musically is good and what isn't good and why and how to use that stuff creatively and how to get it out of the room if you don't want it.
Is it true that you record? Is it true that you recorded the entire new album on an iPod? Is that true?
On an iPhone, actually.
iPhone.
All right. We are in our closing moments here with Mr. Chris Cornell from Soundgarden and the Kevin Bean Show. We just world premiered the song Live to Rise. Again, we're going to play it for you another time in about 50 minutes. The movie, by the way. Did you get a chance to see any or much of it? Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, Jeremy Renner. I mean, it's unbelievable to get this cast together for the event. Have you seen much of it?
I saw parts of it that were just scenes that they could show when they didn't have the whole thing together.
Right. Okay.
And it's good because it's all the actors are really great. They're accomplished actors, and
it looks funny.
It's not just an action film because I'm not actually a fan of them.
Right.
So, the script is great, the dialogue is great, the acting is great.
It's
more than just people smashing into each other in expensive CGI.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, too.
And the sound.
No, you're right. Although that's not my thing.
No, I hear.
But there's wit and there's good acting, so it
makes it much better. I agree.
Funny. Yeah.
Soundtrack to Avengers Assemble is going to include Rise Against, Papa Roach, Scott Weiland, Bush, Buck Cherry. I mean, of course, the new Soundgarden song Shine Down. It's going to be tremendous. It's a win-win all around, and we're so excited to have Soundgarden back. And Chris, you know, we always love having you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks so much for the time today. Good luck to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Too much show is what's going on right now. Too goddamn much to keep track of. We just world premiered a brand new Soundgarden song. We're going to play it for you again right out of the top of the news. Then we've got Patrick Warburton's going to be joining us on the program. Then Felipe Esparza is going to be here next hour. All of that on the way. Right now, Ralph Garman checks the showbiz beat here on the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
Sad news. Shifty Seth Benzer of Crazy Town fighting for his life, according to RadarOnline.com. He is hospitalized in intensive care. Doctors have induced him into a coma. Apparently, last Thursday, got into a fight with his child's mother, Jasmine Leonard. He took 25 GHB tablets and then smoked some crack on top of that, just for safe measure.
Just to make sure.
Yeah, he overdosed. He was supposed to return to drug treatment 3 weeks ago.
He's been in and out.
Yes.
That guy had a hard, hard time.
Yeah. He was like the Kramer to Dr. Drew Seinfeld for a long time. He was like the crazy neighbor who would show up every episode.
Sometimes on the roof.
Yeah. Just a mess. But, of course, we hope the best for him and his family. But I'm telling you, no good ever came from that Butterfly song. And this is proof positive. Come, my lady. Come, come, my lady. You're my butterfly. Sugar, baby.
Come, my lady. You're my pretty baby. You have loved this from the beginning.
Oh, F. So much F.
Are you? What you're basically saying is you're sad that he's still alive.
No, I'm not.
Because of that song.
I'm saying that song that did no good for anyone across the board. It's right. it's like the monkey's paw. It's one of those cursed items that whoever touches it, bad befalls them. And that butterfly song is that.
Okay.
Right. Come, my baby, my pretty baby, my baby lady. You're my lady baby. My baby, my lady and my baby. So baby and my lady and your baby lady.
That's accurate.
What are you, five? David Letterman has just renewed his deal with CBS. This will put him on track to become the longest running late night TV talk show host in history.
That's amazing.
He'll surpass Johnny Carson's 30-year late-night hosting record, which at the time was seen unbeatable. No one will ever last as long as Johnny. Looks like Letterman's going to do it, so congratulations.
That show sucks.
One of my favorite directors, Barry Levinson, in the news. This guy directed The Natural. He did, Time for Wapner. What was that? Rain Man. That was his. Diner. Great, great director. He has just signed on to direct the life story of Hank Aaron. African-American baseball player, of course, broke Babe Ruth's home run record. And no word yet on who's going to play Hammer and Hank Aaron, but Daily Variety says the producers have already picked up the rights to his life story from his family, so it's going to be happening. I think it's a fascinating story, because if you know anything about that piece of history, and I'm no baseball fan, but as he was approaching, the racist baseball fans started to lose their mind in the idea that a black player was going to beat Babe Ruth's record. They started to
death threats.
Just it was a brutal time in that sports history, so should be very interesting.
And it's also it's interesting now to imagine any white man holding any baseball record.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. And Boy George got beat up last weekend. Kevin, nice
what are you
work
talking about?
I know how you feel about Boy George.
I don't want to beat him up.
He was assaulted Saturday night at a club in London, he claims.
Doesn't seem like he needs any help in that arena.
I'm not sure I understand.
He has people over. Remember he had people over that beat him up?
No, he beat the other guy
up. Oh, he did? No.
He had the guy chained up in his bedroom. The guy escaped and had to call the cops.
Okay.
He was doing the beating.
There was some kind of beating going on in his house.
Maybe this is
the guy getting him back.
Maybe this is karma, you know? Like a chameleon. Sometimes it changes. You never know how it's... I'm just saying, you never know with karma.
Put that
sometimes it changes, and you can't expect the changes because it's very...
Oh, yeah.
File.
Boy George didn't say how or why he got beat up. He did post a photo of his swollen eye. No word on whether he filed a police report or not. Some of the police are speculating he just tumbled for you, and so that's
all that
is. It may not have been an assault. What? I don't even know what you're talking about.
That's
do
a
we know
file.
Anything about the guy who beat him up? I mean, do we know? Did he even really want to hurt him? I mean,
stop
is there,
it!
But I.
Oh, you!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Craig T. Nelson was Coach on television in Poltergeist, one of my favorite films. Great actor, 68 years old today. Writer and producer David E. Kelly is 56. Comedian David Cross celebrates his 48th birthday. Hugo Weaving from The Matrix and Lord of the Rings and V is for Vendetta, 52 years old. He was also Red Skull in Captain America. Let's not forget that.
Oh.
Robert Downey Jr., while we're talking about superhero movies, Iron Man himself is 47 years old. David Blaine, the magician? No.
Yeah,
he used to do magic.
It's
now
questionable.
He just sits in ice. He is 39 years old today. And Jamie Lynn Spears, baby sister of Britney, turns 21 years old today. She already got 9 kids. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
21? Yeah, it's nuts.
Seems bad.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Band is called Fun, period, and I'm very uncomfortable with excessive punctuation. I don't care for it. There's a show that's on TV that people watch, and it is known as Rules of Engagement, and it airs Thursday nights at 8:30 on the CBS. Patrick Warburton has been on that show for 200 years.
Is that right?
Yes. Do I have that right, Mr. Warburton? 200 years is about right, right?
Six. This feels like
no. 6 years. But just 6 years.
Currently in its sixth season on CBS, and of course we love him on The Family Guy as Joe. How are you, man? What's been going on? We haven't talked to you in a while.
Good morning. It has been a while, and now I have to follow rock god Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
So sitcom hack follows rock god. Your show's quickly taking a dive here.
Wow.
Sorry.
Thanks well, for pointing we did that peak out. Early. We peaked early today, if that's what you're saying. And people by any people shouldn't be listening anymore, is what we're suggesting.
I don't have any.
Come on now.
Albums to talk about.
He sounds so sad. Hey, but you are a big-time movie star, and we are dying to talk about Ted. You know, we wanted to put up a post on KevinAbean.com and KROQ.com of the trailer for this new film, Ted, from Seth MacFarlane. We couldn't find one that did not violate CBS policy because every Red Band trailer out there is so foul, we couldn't even post it on our website. But it looks like it must be an amazing movie to be on.
It is. It was really fun, and I had a good time. I'm just in a few scenes, but I did have to. Seth made me kiss like this. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't know if you know what it is yet. But this like super hunky younger movie star who was on my daughter's top three list, and he's no longer
Mark Wahlberg.
He's not on my daughter's top three list anymore
because you kissed him
because he made out with Daddy. Yeah,
right. That's
creepy.
That's way gross for a kid.
It is. She screamed. But it was fun. It was fun to do because I think I let her know that I probably fried her not fully formed adolescent brain. she doesn't really know how to process this. It's
right.
Like, on one hand, she's grossed out by her father. On the other, she's jealous of her father. So.
That's odd. That is an odd combination.
Yeah.
Did you have any scenes with the talking bear?
I did not.
All right, then we don't want to talk to you about that anymore.
All right. Listen, it's been fun.
That was actually strangely disappointing, Patrick.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to try to sell us a car while you got us on the phone?
How dare you?
Hey, that's Joe coming through. That's what that voice was.
Peter, I've been selling cars on television. Shamelessly.
You're so good on Family Guy.
It's fun to do. My mom still is really upset about that.
Is that right? She watches it and goes, how can you do that?
My mom's a little nutty, though. Just a few weeks ago, my parents went to go see Jerry Seinfeld in Florida there, and he was doing a show in Pensacola. And I hooked him up. You know, I contacted Jerry's assistant and said, you know, Mom and Dad would like to go see the show. So they go see it, and then 2 days later I'm talking to my mom, and I said, you know, how was the show? And she said, well, he used the Lord's name in vain, which I didn't really appreciate, but it was a wonderful show. I left him a lovely thank you note, and I knew at that point she'd left him more than a thank you note, because my mom can't do that. She can't just say thank you. She's always got a motive. And so I said, yeah, you probably left him a few old VHS tapes that have converted a lot of your Jewish friends. there was dead silence on the phone.
That's what she did?
That's what she goes, well, I did leave him a couple of DVDs. Yes, I did.
That's fantastic.
You have no idea how crossing the line that is. You have no, it's so wrong on so many levels. I can't believe you did that. And then she says, well, I didn't do it. The Holy Spirit did.
Oh, my God.
And by the way,
you mom crazy.
Your friend Jerry Seinfeld puts on one of the cleaner shows in comedy, too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's nothing would suffice unless it's, you know, Disney or Little House on the Prairie for Mom. So
your career, even with the double entendres on Rules of Engagement, Patrick, your career must be nothing but a series of constant disappointments to your mother.
It is. Going to hell.
You got the Family Guy, you play the cripple, you got the Ted coming out with the teddy bear that's doing bong hits. Your mom just must be crying every day.
She's a little disappointed, but she always lets me know she's praying for me.
So. Okay, good.
Well, that's what
praying
counts.
For you.
All right, let me ask you one more question, Mr. Warburton, and that is, I know you're involved in charity stuff all the time, and you do the golf tournaments and things like that. Have you had any wacky celebrity encounters lately with people that you met on the golf course or met at a charity event or something like that, that either you were in awe of or anything funny happened or anything you can share with us? Because I know you run in exciting circles with the showbiz types.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I set my tournament about four weekends ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool because the first night we had a jam session, and Alice Cooper and Robbie Krieger and Steve Cropper, they all played. It's the musicians I'm in, I've always been, in awe of. And my buddy Jerry Cantrell is there now. Jerry is just phenomenal.
He's
awesome. And maybe next year we'll be able to coax him to get up and jam with the boys because he didn't this year. I think he just wanted to chill out,
But is that your thing? Like, if you could be a rock
star, that's what you would do?
Oh yeah. Well, look, listen. I could be sitting in a room with, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis, who I think is the greatest actor of our generation, and De Niro and Pacino, be nonplussed, and my, you know, one actor is just a better BSer than another. But I mean, I still, you know, I've probably met Eddie Vedder 10 times now, and he's always been really, really super cool, and even gave me the honor of getting to write the set list for their last show, October 7th show. Yeah, it was the last time they're in Los Angeles, and I still, you know, like, you know, knees knocking when I'm, I don't know what to say when he's the greatest artist in the world, and I've been just a sick Pearl Jam fan for decades now, but.
The problem is you can't put all those years and all that meaning that music has had for you into words.
Yeah, I can't. It's impossible. Even when I watch a great documentary like PJ20 and, you know, made by a great filmmaker, you can't capture the true evolution of that band and Vedder in those decades. In these last two decades, you can't.
Are you enough of a fan that you went out and got yourself a ukulele when Eddie did?
No.
Good answer.
No. I love it. I love that album, but I can't, you know, I have enough trouble playing the guitar, so.
I'm not a ukulele fan.
No.
Not a fan of that instrument.
Well, it's I wasn't, but, you know, I have to tell you, when there's beautiful songs on that. It's
absolutely.
Album.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, well, that's interesting. A little insight into the troubled life of Patrick Warburton. He's frustrated in every aspect of his life, and that's why you should give him your business. Thursday nights at 8:30 on CBS. The show is Rules of Engagement, and then Sunday nights at 9 on Fox with Family Guy. And look for Ted in theaters July 13th. We love you, man. You're always welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for the time.
I love you guys, and thank you. And I just have to say real quickly, you know, growing up and going to Newport Harbor High School, I just wonder if everybody feels this way in whatever community. I mean, the station's based in Pasadena, right?
Yeah, that's where
it was
originally.
City of License, right, yeah.
Now we're in Culver City.
But why did we always feel like we owned you in Newport Beach? We felt like you were like, K-Rock has always been like the neighborhood station in Orange County and Newport Beach.
The answer to that is because K-Rock for many, many, many years was the people's station. I mean, it was run by people who hated corporate music. Unfortunately, a few years ago, we became the corporate music station, but we appreciate you still listening.
All right. Well, I love you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick.
We're doing our best to ruin that, but, you know, thanks for listening.
We world premiered a brand new song from the band Soundgarden with Chris Cornell on the phone earlier today. We're going to play that song for you again coming up in a little while. Keep listening for details on how you can win your tickets for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roasty
Fiesta. What
are
you doing with that microphone over there, for God's sakes?
I was helping him out.
Is Beer Mug raping our guest with a mic? What's going on here?
I wasn't positive. I needed to check.
And, of course, Saturday night is Kevin Bean sold out April Foolishness 2012. One of the mans on the bill is in studio with us right now. Felipe Esparza joins us on the Kevin Bean.
Yeah, what's up? What's up? What's up, everybody? What's up?
Well, it's great to see you again. We very much enjoyed your last visit, and we're so excited about Saturday night, as I'm sure are you. You get to share a bill with Larry King. I mean, is that something you ever thought would happen in your comedy career?
Never.
What do you think about that? Because all of us are scared.
I think it's going to be great. I'm not scared at all.
I hope it's going to be great. I want it to be great. But,
oh, it's going to be great,
but
man.
You never know. Like, what do you? It's a weird person. It's like a weird guy to do it, and he's going to be up there, and is he going to tell jokes? Is it go over well? He's over three times the age of the average person that's going to be there. You know, I don't know. It just scares me.
I know, like, I did a show, The Playboy Mansion, with Jeffrey Ross, and then Rich Little was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. How old is he?
I don't know.
He's
like,
in his 70s.
Like 70. Yeah. He had a young wife. She was 42.
That's what you do when you're 70, if you can.
How was Rich Little? Did he still bring it?
Oh, he brought it, man. But he was like doing like impersonations, you know, like Ronald Reagan. And
those were his
But some of, most of the crowd was like in their 60s, so they got
right.
it. He was killing them.
How'd you go over then?
Oh, I went over. Okay. I did like 5 minutes. Because it was like this fundraiser for Mend the Wounds or for Marines. You know, uh-huh. they do plastic surgery on them. And one of the guys, Aaron Mackey, he was a Marine who got his face fixed, mm-hmm. plastic surgery. He opened up with, I was kind of nervous about being here at the Playboy Mansion, but then I saw worse plastic surgery than mine, so I feel comfortable. So then here comes Felipe Esparza to clean up the mess.
That's a funny joke. How was the place just being rented out as a venue, or were there actually playmates running around during?
There was playmates, but it was, you know, they had their clothes on.
That's BS.
It was like everybody was telling me, "Oh, you should have been here last week."
Yeah, that's always the case with the Playboy Mansion. There are some parties that you should be at, and they're also the ones that you can never get invited to.
Yeah, those are the ones I can go.
Right.
I want to go there with everybody naked. And they're telling me, hey, you put your clothes on.
Not everybody naked. Just the hot chicks.
The hot
Kevin,
chicks.
Kevin, were we there? Refresh my memory. We've done so many things. But we did a singles party at the Playboy Mansion. And wasn't Snoop Dogg in the grotto with a bunch of naked chicks? Did we see that?
Snoop Dogg was so high. And I remember very clearly because their security guards weren't letting any men in, only women. But they let us in. And I looked over there and all the women were walking up to Snoop topless. And I thought to myself, this is the pinnacle of success. Playboy Mansion in the grotto. Girls topless, beautiful, and coming up to Snoop. And Snoop was so high that he was just staring up, like, at the ceiling, and he was unaware of anybody else's presence. And I just thought to myself, I don't ever want to be that high. That's too high. If chicks are coming up to you with their tops off and you don't even know they're there.
He was on that OG.
That's too high. I don't want to be that high.
Yeah, you ever been so high, you cut up the shopping network, they ask you, man, help you. Now I'm just looking.
I've never been that high.
No.
Felipe, have you done many gigs? I know you've done hundreds of gigs since you won Last Comic Standing, but have you ever done a gig for 6,000 people? Has that happened yet?
No, I never done a gig for 6,000 people.
Happening Saturday night.
I know. I'm excited, man. I spoke to my mom about it. She said, Felipe, don't worry about it. No one there is going to laugh at you.
Great. That's great.
Well, that was nice.
Mom, that doesn't help me. Now, we need to take a break, but when we come back, we have to talk about what could be the best or the worst experience that you've ever had in your life, which is doing Dodger Stadium.
Okay.
You're going to do stand-up before a Dodger game.
Before a Dodger game. Before the
first
pitch.
This is brand new. I've never heard of this before in any baseball game.
I know. Hope I don't strike out.
And Dodger Stadium.
So the upside is lots of Mexicans to support you. The downside is none of them are there to see comedy. They're all there to see baseball.
No, they're there to get free tickets, free beer, all you can eat.
Yeah, that's true, too. All right, so we'll talk about that when we get back with Felipe.
Felipe Esparza in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow him on Twitter at FunnyFelipe. Of course, you can see him on stage if you're lucky enough to have tickets for this Saturday night's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. So, Felipe, Kevin teased it right before we had to break, but you are going to be doing comedy at Dodger Mother Effin Stadium. Please explain.
Yes, April 15, I'm doing Dia de los Doyers, pronounced with a D-O-Y-E-R-E-S.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they're going to set it up, but they're going to put me up there, and I'm going to do like 10 minutes of comedy.
Just before
the game starts. Before the national anthem, before batting practice.
No, this is not going to happen. There's no way this... How? But why? But who? Explain.
It's not normal. They don't have... They've never done this before.
No, they've never done this before. So they had bands, but not a comedian.
They're trying something new. Now, do you think people will pay attention? It seems to me people talk even during the baseball game.
I don't know.
Is it going to be a good audience for you to do comedy?
I don't think there's going to be people in Pavilion because, you know, people in Pavilion, they park in Echo Park or in Elysian Park.
Right.
They walk, yeah. Are you going to be standing out on the pitcher's mound, or are you going to be in a certain section of the park, or what? Do you know?
I don't know, man. They're going to put me somewhere, like in a club, and I'll probably just be on Diamond Vision or something.
Oh, that might be pretty cool. That way everyone could see you well.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to write baseball material now.
That's what I was wondering, if you're working up anything special.
Do you have baseball material?
None. Because I used to work at Dodger Stadium. I used to roll up hot dogs.
Really?
Roll up hot dogs. Wrap hot dogs. Yeah, he rolled some Tide hot dogs. He's skimping on the bread.
Felipe, have you had any, I guess all comics have, disastrous appearances on stage where nothing worked?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How long has it been since that happened?
It sounds like I did it yesterday, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say, how long?
Tacoma, Washington, man. I got booed off the stage.
Really?
Yeah. You know how they say that there were, like Chris Rock said, that there's black people and there's other people. Those were other people.
Gotcha. Yeah. They were not down with the nonsense that you were peddling.
Yeah, man. I haven't heard of that many boos since Halloween. I mean, boo! Get off the stage.
That's rough.
It was tough.
Yeah, I mean, don't you, at some point, don't you just go, okay, F you?
Yeah, man. You know, it when you bomb, it feels horrible, man. It feels like watching your friends have sex with your girlfriend every hour, you know?
Yeah.
It hurts so much.
And she's having a much better time than she has with you.
Yeah. It felt worse. It felt almost like yesterday, I went to, I had to, go to an acting class, but I had to audition just to join the acting class.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even make that.
Wow.
And I got broke down my state, my president. Oh, oh man, how much time you want to invest in acting? You're horrible. He said that. He broke it down, man.
That's always good to hear.
I went home crying, man.
Oh,
like,
that's rough.
It was bad, man.
That sounds rough. Yeah.
It's funny because I act better if I wanted drugs, you know?
Of course.
Hey, come on, man.
That's when you come to life.
Yeah.
Hey, Felipe, we're almost out of time, but I did want to mention you have a new DVD special since the last time we had you on the show, right?
Yes. I did a Showtime special, and the DVD was released 2 weeks ago on Amazon, Walmart, Target, on the outside of Food for Less on Pico Union. It's called They're Not Gonna Laugh at You.
They're not going to laugh at you.
Yes.
That is encouraging.
Is it a prediction? You're also performing at the Ontario Improv.
Yes.
Next Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Next Thursday, Friday, I'll be at the Ontario Improv. I know it's kind of far, but, you know, make it out there.
But not for the people that live out there.
No, because gas is expensive, man. Yeah. You can't pick up anymore. Yeah. You'll be dancing with a girl, so where you live at? Riverside? Hell no. That is too far, man. If I have to map quest you, you live too far.
I think that's a good rule of thumb right there.
You know what's funny? You guys talking about that. You have the K-Rock Fiesta.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Man, I went to the K-Rock Luau.
Oh, the luau.
Yeah, I'm getting older, man. I used to go to Mexico to party. Now I go there for the medicine. You know what I'm saying? You say fiesta, you know, you're going to have a horchata there.
Oh, horchata.
Yes, horchata.
You know, people always say that, you know, what is horchata? What does it taste like? Well, to Mexicans, Salvadorians, it tastes like horchata. To everybody else, it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal milk.
Yeah.
Yes. French toast
that.
Water. Twitter me, Funny Felipe. Follow the kid.
Yes, you should. Ontario Improv next weekend. That's Thursday the 12th through Sunday the 15th. But you'll get a chance to see him this coming Saturday night along with Larry King and Brad Williams.
Larry King live.
That's right. Eddie F., Jim Jeffries, Bob Saget, Jay Moore, and Eddie Izzard. Proceeds, by the way, and thanks again to everybody who bought tickets to the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai Maxine Dennett's Children's Health Center, NICU. Great cause. We will see you Saturday night, Felipe.
Yes.
We're very
thanks
excited.
Thanks for having me. Thank Kevin and Bean, I made it, baby.
Josh Lewis joins us in studio next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is one of the hosts of the Repo Games show on Spike. What a great show.
If Josh Lewis came to me and said, give me your car, I would say, yes, sir. Can I give you my neighbors as well?
Yeah.
He is a big, big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. But very excited about talking about the kinds of people he meets in the course of doing his job.
And by the way, a lot of them get up in his face, too.
They're fools.
I know they do.
They're mad.
I know.
Should be fun. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
All right, let's jump into the fray.
Woo!
Yes!
See what you did?
A lot of debate over the phrase version of the national anthem at Monday's NCAA Men's Basketball Championship between Kansas and Kentucky. They did the Star Spangled Banner, as is customary before the game begins.
That was a good choice, I think, of songs to sing when they came out.
But they did a hipster emo version of the song, and not everybody was pleased. Yahoo Sports writes, the Denver rock band tried to rework the 198-year-old song into a modern hipster version and failed in every respect.
Ouch.
Even the co-founder of the band, Joe King, tweeted, I'm going to ride home on the Kansas bus today. My fingers froze last night. If anyone wants to join me, I'll be at the loser bar tonight. However, the guitarist, Dave Welsh, said, the national anthem's a bit like choosing Jif and Skippy. You just can't please everyone. So he's saying, look, it's a matter of taste. Some people like Jif, some people like Skippy. Some people ordered pizza, and you delivered peanut butter, sir. You can make your own mind up. Here's a little taste of the fray. Some would say butchering the national anthem.
Oh, you see, can't you see by the dawn's early light? We're so proudly we hear that the twilight's last
gleam.
Did they do it this way on purpose?
This was a choice.
Dude.
I'm with the guy that said, dude.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It's horrific.
Everything's wrong with it.
That's not a thing right. He's got the lyrics right.
He got the lyrics 100% right, which a lot of people can't say who performed that song.
But most of them don't butcher it this way.
You wouldn't know it's that song if it wasn't for the lyrics.
Yeah. And his singing sounds terrible, and who chooses Wind Chimes as a backup group?
Big ending now.
Big finish.
Was the land of the free.
Apparently he's playing the zither there, and there's a guy doing percussion on a bucket from Home Depot with a toilet brush.
Sweet.
Yeah. So people not pleased with the phrase version, but come
on. The people you are referring to are hipsters. They walk slowly because they got no place to be, man.
They're the fray. Who cares? Send them back to the coffee shop they came from, and we'll all be happy.
Agreed.
Khloe Kardashian is complaining that her momager, Kris Jenner, calls her fat.
She tells him like she sees him.
I admire her honesty.
She does tell him like she sees him. Cosmopolitan magazine is the place where she gave the interview. Listen, my mom believes in us more than we believe in ourselves. But she is also our manager and trying to protect our brand. She'll say, oh, you're a little too fat right now. If she were just my manager, I have had fired her right then. You can't talk to me like that. Well, apparently she can.
What is she saying?
And apparently she's right. By the way, the cover of Cosmopolitan, where you can see Khloe.
The cover of Cosmo?
Yeah. I can only imagine the cramps in the hands of the airbrushers. I'm guessing they ran out of air while they were working on that cover because
she looks acceptable.
She don't look like that.
Yeah.
Girth?
Huh?
I didn't.
Girth?
He did.
Girth.
Jason Biggs claims the latest sequel to American Pie, American Reunion, will be just as raunchy as the original, if anybody was concerned. He told the writers he'd do anything for the film to get a laugh, and so they came back and said, okay, you got to show your junk. And
yes.
Apparently he does.
All right.
He said he laughed out loud when he told them the idea and was more than willing to drop his pants for comedy.
That's Jason Biggs?
Jason Biggs, yeah. Oh, it's Jason Biggs!
Come on, it's wordplay.
Yes, it is.
Who's with me?
I haven't seen it yet, so I have no idea. If Jason's Biggs.
Obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
To play that
That's
game
a level of commitment that I could never reach as an actor. That's why I know I'll never be a great actor, because I look like Will Ferrell, who does. He gets practically naked in every movie he makes.
Right.
Or Jason Biggs is willing to just drop his pants and show his junk for a laugh.
We had a guest in here walked in naked.
Yeah, but that's different. That's four people seeing me, and it's a laugh to those of us in the room. But to do a movie and you're going to be on the big screen and you're going to be showing off whatever you're showing off,
that's a level of commitment
I can't.
To hear you say
that,
Ralph, because you seem very comfortable with sexuality.
I am. I'm very comfortable with sexuality. Get me, you know, one or two or three, four people in a bed, and I'm fine. But the idea of just putting it on display on a big screen for millions of people to see, as Lisa mentions, in perpetuity,
is a
daunting concept.
You need a fluffer. Need
and it's not even the junk. I would just, if it was a glory hole and I just had to stick something through there in a movie, I'd be fine. I have no problem with that.
Is it really that big?
But just, you know, no one's really, I guess some people are, but no one's really happy with the way they look naked.
Right.
No, agreed.
You know, if you're Brad Pitt or you're one of these people, sure. You know, but the average guy, you look in the mirror and go, I don't think I want a lot of people.
I wouldn't hit that.
Yeah, I would that. So the idea of just exposing yourself like that just for comic effect is something I appreciate and admire in other performers.
Jimmy Kimmel is also one.
Kimmel's another guy. Has no problem just being just belly out there. You know what I mean? But I am too embarrassed.
Well, Jason Biggs will be with us on Friday, so we can explore that with him.
And we can take a look. Maybe he'll drop his pants for us, because apparently he has no problem doing it for millions of people. Maybe he'd do it just for the half a dozen or so.
Can we save that request for Jennifer Love Hewitt, who's joining us also on Friday, instead, maybe?
I don't want to see her penis.
She doesn't have...
Oh.
He's talking about her son of boobs.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Craig T. Nelson. Coach! Also was the dad in the Poltergeist movies. He's 68 years old today. Actor Hugo Weaving, The Matrix, Lord of the Rings, Captain America, 52 years old. David Cross, funny, funny man from Arrested Development and Mr. Show and his own stand-up, 48. Robert Downey Jr. is 47 years old today. Magnus Svenningson of the Cardigans.
Magnus
Svenningson.
We think he's the one that fell asleep.
He's the one who passed out on you during the interview?
Yeah.
He is 40 years old. Magician David Blaine turns 39. Natasha Lyonne, while we're talking about American Reunion, she's in that movie. She was in American Pie as well, 33 years old. James Rodet of Psych is 36. Is it Roddy or Rodet? Anyone know?
No idea.
That's a funny show. And J.B. Lynn Spears, sister of Brittany, turns 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Is the first brand new song from Soundgarden in 15 years.
Soundgarden doesn't make new music anymore. They've been broken up forever, Kevin.
That's the song from Soundgarden.
I won't believe that until I hear that from Chris Cornell myself.
Called Live to Rise. We talked to him a little bit earlier this morning, and world premiered that song, so very excited about that.
That's going to be from the Avengers Assemble soundtrack, which is coming out in May again. Brand new Soundgarden, Live to Rise. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Repo Games time!
Nobody wants to meet the Repo Man.
How you doing, sir?
Whoa.
Calm down. Hey.
But when this Repo Man comes, you'll get a chance to ditch those late notices for good.
Is this for real?
You just walked into a game show for an opportunity to win your truck back.
This is a repo show. Woo!
I'm going to ask you 5 trivia questions. If you get 3 of them right,
you get to keep the car free and clear.
What?
But what happens if we don't get it right?
Your car's gone. It's coming with me.
Yeah, that's the Repo Games, and it is awesome. It's on Spike TV. It's on Wednesday nights at 11:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one of the hosts, Josh Lewis, in the studio with us. Hi, Josh.
Yeah. What's up? Thanks for having me, man.
Josh, you're a big boy, man.
Yeah.
The gun show just happened right here. What NFL team did you play for before you got in TV?
Oh, man. I played a lot of semi-pro. I played a little college ball. But
did you really?
Yeah.
What school?
Small school back in Michigan. That's where I'm from. Ferris State. It's a little D2 school.
How about that?
I played semi-pro in Wisconsin and Chicago.
Are you surprised at the show? And for those of you that don't know, what we just played was the description of it, is that you're actually going to repo the car. You have an order to repo the car. You've turned it into a game show where they can actually not only have you not repo it, but you'll pay it off, which is awesome. And these questions are so unbelievably easy.
Yeah.
That's got to be the hardest job working for Repo Games is the person who writes the questions, because they are literally the simplest questions that can be asked. Right?
Absolutely, man.
They're not even trick questions. I mean, what political party is President Obama in is not a question that should cause anyone pause. Right?
And they only have to get 3 out of 5. And they pay off their car. What's the percentage of people who actually win their car back? It's pretty low, isn't it?
It was really low season 1, man. Season 2, actually, very high.
It was higher.
Very high.
Oh, really?
High.
Is that because people were aware of the show?
I think, yeah.
No, people, they don't just get smarter because they know the show's on, Kevin.
No, but if they know to expect it might be coming, I don't know.
Maybe it was more like, you don't know what's coming. It's a total shock, but... You know, we were in the South a lot, season 1.
Yeah.
And season 2 was a lot of East Coast, Midwest. Not pointing any fingers.
You can tell you were in the South, by the way. That's no secret. You did a lot in Phoenix or Mesa or wherever.
And most of the cars had Confederate flags in the back window.
Absolutely, Confederate flags, gun racks.
Did a lot in Texas. How surprised are you when people get up in your face? Because you're a big boy.
Yeah, man. You know, and I'm used to, like...
And guys my size will get up in your face and go and act like I'm going to do something. They're crazy.
They are crazy. There's a Napoleon complex, absolutely, you know, and I was talking to producers, man. They see the cameras, and they know I'm not going to do anything back to them.
Right. Oh, because there's cameras there? Yeah, I see.
But the same goes for me, too, because a lot of times I think the cameras saved me when I get on, you know, get around a group of guys.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, man, what am I getting myself into again with this job?
You know? How long does it take you to talk the average person into the fact that this really is a TV game show? They really can win their car back. Do you cut a lot of that for time?
No. Actually, I do it very quick.
I know you try to do it very quick, like, but sometimes it takes them forever to get their head around the fact that it's real. And
no,
it's
absolutely.
It's a game, and they can win their car and all that.
Yeah, like...
One woman ran you off.
Yeah, well, there's been people that are like, oh, get out of here, get off my property. You know, I'm embarrassed to be on TV or whatever, but...
And then you just take the car.
Then we just take their car.
Yeah.
But I'm very smooth, and I like make people do things they wouldn't normally do.
Josh, here's something I wanted to ask. I love the show so much. First of all, congratulations!
Thank
it really
you.
Is the, of all the reality shows, it's the one that's the most fun for me. I really mean that. But you have to cut this part out. When there's a crowd of people and the neighbors see the TV lights and then come out, how do you stop them from yelling out answers to the contestant?
You know, it's just like anything else. You know, like, hey guys, don't cheat, don't yell out answers. You know, we're testing their brains. We're not testing your brains. But even the crowd, a lot of times the crowd will sit there kind of stunned. You know, a few people will know and be like, well, I don't know what President Obama, like the other day, I mean, if you see the crowd, some of them kind of like, oh, I don't even know really, man.
Or they think they know, but they don't want to embarrass themselves.
You don't want to shout
it
out, yeah.
I have a couple of clips. This is the type of question that is asked on Repo Games for people to win their car back.
Question number one. Name four of the six Bayside High buddies who starred on Saved by the Bell.
Zach.
Okay.
Screech.
Wow. Can I call my mom?
Your mom watched Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, he went on to not get that right. Only four out of six. Right. That's, I mean, when you start thinking that you're going to not only not repossess their car but pay it off, that question is a gimme.
Yeah. These people are really nervous, too, man. I mean, you got a whole production crew. You're sitting at home chilling, doing whatever. You know, and all of a sudden, I come knocking on your door with a production crew.
People who know me know I would go blank.
Yeah, you're pretty freezes.
I would go blank. If I opened the door and you were standing there and there were cameras and you were asking me questions that I knew, the answer would not come to me. That's just the way my brain works.
It's also funny, and I love this. And Josh, you have experience as an actual repo guy before you got involved in the TV show, right?
Right, right.
Okay. I think this is a fascinating look into human nature, is the people are angry at you for taking their car away, even though they're the ones who aren't paying the bill. They're the ones who basically are in default right now. They broke the contract, yet somehow they're mad at you for standing up for the people they made the contract with.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Blame the messenger all the time. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're not taking my car.
No, we're going to take
it. I'm sorry, we are. Can't you see that truck right there that is already on? We're going to take it.
I don't get stopped much.
And you're smart to put it up, you know, to have it hooked up on the tow truck before you knock on the door to let them know, because that way you've got the tough part out of the way, right?
Oh, exactly. And that's what's great. It's like, you know, sometimes if you can't see the car from the front door, I'll be like, hey, we're going to play repo games, we're taking your car, you know, give them the whole spiel. And then, you're not taking my car, and they come out and see it hooked up. Like, oh, man, I guess
they're taking my car. Yeah.
All right, we need to take a break. But Josh,
let me ask one more question, because I know I'm going to forget. What do you do if you go up to somebody's house, you hook up the car, you knock on the door, then there's nobody home? Do you put the car back and then come back some other time to try to catch them, or do you still just take it?
That's happened quite a few times. We just take it.
Really?
Oh, what a bummer for them.
Yeah,
just because they weren't home, they didn't get a chance to play. How about that? So is the message here today, if your car is in arrears, never leave your house just in case the repo game shows up?
I mean, that's a safe assumption. Definitely for good TV, stay home with your car that's up for repossession. Absolutely.
It's on Spike TV. You can see last week's episode at 11 p.m., and then you see a brand new one at 11:30. We'll be right back with Josh Lewis.
Josh Lewis in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is one of the hosts of Repo Games, one of our favorite shows. It's on Spike Wednesday nights, and that means tonight, too, into season two now. And it's funny, though, the show's a big hit, and you now encounter people who know instantly what's going on when they open the door and they see you standing there. They're like, Repo Games, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the best part. You have to talk them into it.
They understand exactly what's going on. They recognize your face and
everything. Like, they're ready to just play right off there. Like, first question, go. Let's do this.
Now, the part where you pay off their car, which is such a miracle. I mean, A, you get your head around the fact that you're on a game show. B, oh, my God, wait, you might not take my car. And then C, it's paid off. I always wonder, like, what's the most you've ever had to pay off on a car? Do you even know? Do you even have that information?
You know, I'll ask questions and stuff, and I'll ask them during gameplay. But I want to say the highest was like $9,000.
Wow. That's the best thing that ever happened to them then, is having the – I mean, I may stop making the payments on my car just so I can get to the point where you can show up and pay it off for me.
Yeah, and the thing was, it was $9,000 and like a 2001 Windstar, which is kind of tough to swallow.
Wow, that's rough. All right, here's a question from last week, and I just wanted people to listen to the thinking and the processing that goes into the man's mind as he tries to come up with this answer.
Question number two, what nun and Nobel Peace Prize winner worked as a missionary in Calcutta until her death in 1997.
For real?
For real what?
Lord, you playing? Are you serious?
That was a question.
The one that was doing all the stuff for all the people. That's her.
Yeah, her.
So you want to just get it wrong?
Let's say Shanita.
What's that?
What?
Shanita, yeah, that's my
aunt. That's your aunt.
Yeah.
So the answer you want to go with is your aunt.
My aunt, yeah.
It's your aunt, yeah. All right.
I'm not very smart.
I can tell. It's cool.
He goes with his aunt's name, Shanita.
Shanita.
Yeah, that
Mother
was his guess.
Shanita.
It's the only thing he could think of.
Sister Shanita.
I'm sorry, was that right?
Josh, I feel like...
This is why you're fun for this job. Is I feel like you are really rooting for these people. A, you're trying to make good TV, but you really are rooting for these people, and you do try to help them. You give them enough time to come up with the answer. I mean,
you give
you're
them
not
hints.
You're not a badass on this thing.
No, not at all. I try to help them, man. I feel for these people, but at what point do you say, you know, I got to cut you off, and you're really on your own finally? You know what I mean? Like, I'll
when he says Shanita,
when he says Shanita, it's like you don't deserve to keep this vehicle.
My aunt is the only person I can think of right now, so she was the one that was in Calcutta. Wow. How many episodes do you do per season?
20.
20 episodes.
20. Nice.
And you're only one in so far. Tonight will be the second one.
Yep, tonight will be number two.
Fantastic.
So we got a lot of great repo games still to see then. That's fantastic. Yeah. This is one of the few reality shows where people can't really do anything to get on it. It's just a matter of circumstance, basically. It's not like you can apply, right?
Oh, no, not at all, man. And we'll go to the different cities and they'll already have the repo orders.
Stay in the South, man.
Thank you.
Stay in the South.
I want to go back to the South. I love the South.
The South seems to provide you with the best contestants.
The best contestants, the best food. Ladies love me in the South. I can't get enough, honestly.
Is this a fight that you're having with the producers that they're trying to take it everywhere?
Absolutely, man.
Come on, South.
Like, they want to go to Montana, like Billings or something, man. Like,
come on.
Montana and meth labs. We want to go to the dirty South and have just some really ignorant answers.
That's right.
And have a lot of fun.
That's what the show's all about.
And you could save a lot of the preparation, the pre-planning on the show by just following around the camera crew from Cops and just go to wherever they go. Could be same people, right?
Very efficient, yeah, right?
Well, we love it. We talk about it all the time. It's on Spike TV Wednesday nights, rerun of last week's episode, and then immediately following that, a brand new episode. You can follow Josh on Twitter at JoshRepoGames and repogames.spike.com. It's always great to have an opportunity to talk about the show, man. You're welcome anytime. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Dude, thanks for having me. I'm also on Facebook.com, Only One Josh Lewis.
Only one Josh
Only
Lewis.
One Josh Lewis.
There well, that's a lie. There are always a lot of reasons for you to check out KRock.com or KevinAbean.com every morning. Kevin, for starters, you want to talk about your girlfriend, Kate Upton?
Well, my picture of the day is not really a picture. It's a GIF. You call it a GIF or a GIF? A GIF?
I think it's GIF.
I think it's, I don't know.
Or is that the peanut butter?
It's a picture. It's about 4 seconds of video that repeats and repeats and repeats. And it's Kate Upton, and she's in a bikini, and she's jiggling.
She's always in a bikini, isn't she?
And it's spectacular.
Do yourself a favor and find the entire video that GIF is taken from.
Agreed.
That is that's a good 3 minutes.
That's a good
solid
or two.
3 minutes right there. She's got a new line out, by the way. Beach Bunny, I believe it's called. Bikini line has hired her to be their spokesmodel, and the pictures are up online.
Good
you
stuff.
Can check that out as well.
Yeah.
And then once you're done with whatever you're doing with the Kate Upton, then you click on over to the Chris Cornell post. We had an interview.
I'm finding it hard to get away from Kate Upton.
I wouldn't take over either. I would just stay.
I got to be honest. I can't. I've had it up all morning.
I get aroused by Chris Cornell.
No, I'm just trying to suggest that if folks missed the interview this morning with Chris Cornell from Soundgarden and our world premiere of the first new Soundgarden music in 15 years, you'll be excited to know that we put the interview up at krock.com or kevinb.com so you can hear what Mr. Cornell had to say about his new song for the Avengers.
And that's you can get all. The podcast. Do we stop? Will we stop giving? Will we ever stop giving?
Yes. Right now, though, we continue to give. Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show. What's new? What's
happening? Tracy Morgan got into a little accident in Manhattan on Monday night. No worries, though. He's fine. He opened the door to his Jag, and a bike messenger rode into it.
Oh.
Like a scene from one of his movies.
No kidding.
Why'd he deliver his face into my windshield?
Jay Morris?
He maintains that no big deal. This kind of thing happens all the time in the city. This is the messenger talking, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The door wouldn't close after. That means he hit it with pretty good speed. He was taken to the hospital for x-rays, but no major damage, and apparently the guy was fine. But I've heard friends of mine who have worked as bike messengers in the city, in New York, and they say it is one of the most dangerous jobs in the world.
Those guys go 50 miles per hour.
You've driven in New York. You know what it's like. It's just madness.
It's crazy.
It's bad enough when you're wrapped. You got 2 tons of steel wrapped around you, but when you're just you on a bike... That's got to be risky.
People change lanes
crazy.
In a second. That is crazy.
Congratulations to Molly Sims, model and actress. She is pregnant with her first baby with her husband, Scott Stuber. She mentioned it yesterday on The Talk, which apparently is a TV show. I'm not familiar with it.
I don't know.
It's her first child. She's due at the end of June, and she says it sucks, by the way, being pregnant.
Really?
Yeah, she's not having a good time.
Not everybody does.
Nice to hear a woman admit that once in a while instead of the, I've never felt better, I'm glowing, and I just feel so alive.
Yeah, sometimes it's just rough.
Sometimes it is rough on
a woman. It's not a good deal. Another day, another crappy reality show. This one coming from our friends at TLC. These are the people who bring you, of course...
It's the Freak Network.
The Freaks, yes. They're bringing Freaks out of Pennsylvania and Ohio for their next one. Five Mennonites will be dropped in the middle of Manhattan. It's called Breaking Amish. And the show is to allow five Amish people to mix with the outsiders, the English.
Which they're not supposed to do. Strict
rules. Well,
here's
the thing. Apparently, the way of the Amish is... They force you as a young person to leave the compound, the farm, wherever you're living.
Oh, they do?
And you must mingle amongst the English.
Yeah, the Rumspringer.
Yeah.
The what?
The Rumspringer.
Okay.
That's what it's called when they make you... Make
all
you
right.
It exposes you to the outside world, and this way they feel you can make a choice to come back...
Very informed.
To the community.
Go out and drink and do whatever.
You go back, yeah. You go out in the world, see what that's like, and then they have faith that you will come back to the community, having seen that and saying, okay, I don't feel like I'm really missing anything. I'm going to come back home.
And if you don't come back home, they send out a hitman.
They don't, no.
That's what I've heard.
No, I heard they tear their clothing and they spit on the ground and you're dead to them. But still, you're allowed to leave. But they say most, the great majority of young people who leave could do come back.
Which I find fascinating because I guess that's their life that they're used to, and there's some comfort in that. Now, let me ask you this, Ralph, and I think it would be fascinating to talk to Kevin and Bean listeners who have been through this, who have been Amish and then, you know, went on the Rumspringa and never went back. But is it like with the Scientologists, if you're not in, you're really out, like you're cut off from the family, they won't talk to you anymore if you don't come back?
Yeah, but it's not a malicious thing. The Amish don't use phones. They don't use email. They don't. I mean, there's not a lot of unless you come back
so unless
to visit.
You come back, you don't.
There's
see
no
them.
Contact with yeah, your family mean. Once you leave because they don't use the ways of the outsiders.
With Scientologists, they tell you don't contact them under any circumstances.
Right. Yeah. And different. They do That's send them a hitman. And they
yeah,
do
they
kill
do.
You.
Yeah. Allegedly.
But the Amish, you just lose contact by nature of how they live their lives. But most young people, when they leave, realize they just cannot give up. Barn raising. They just can't give it up. It's just so awesome.
Too good.
Man. Oh, yes, sure. I've banged a bunch of supermodels and I go out to clubs every night, but I miss a good barn raising. What? Nothing like lifting timbers.
And churning your own butter by candlelight, too. Don't forget the draw of that.
The people in Manhattan will mix with the English, dress like the English. They'll have to look for apartments, look for jobs, and TLC will document it all, and the Amish will never see it because they don't watch television. So
comedy will
ensue. You're losing your audience right there. I think you're losing your target audience. Yeah. By doing a show about the Amish, you know who you're not going to get? The Amish people.
But imagine, you could do TV and do anything you want, and the Amish people would never hear about it.
It's true. Just don't bring the gun of the hand, John Booker.
But you step out of the Amish conclave and you see that there are Kardashians in the world, and that just makes you go right back
in
to the Amish, right?
Yeah.
What was that Harrison Ford movie?
I don't remember
Witness,
the name
Witness,
of it.
Witness.
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 Yeah.
The gun of the hand, John Book. You have brought the gun of the hand.
It's called a hand gun.
No, but was it is the gun of the hand, John Book.
Yeah, still. It's in the hand gun. Don't worry about it.
What?
It's on the barn.
Harrison doesn't talk loud. It's rather soft.
Why you wear those hats?
Remember the guy dips his nose in ice cream because he thinks he's Amish and they can't fight. They're not allowed to be violent. So he dips it, takes his ice cream, puts on Harrison Ford's nose when they're buggy riding.
Don't remember that
one. Oh, it's the best scene in the movie.
I don't know that there was
like,
one.
Hey there, no mustache beard guy. How about that flat hat you're wearing, huh? And he goes up and he just boop, just hits him on the nose with the ice cream. And they don't know that Harrison Ford's just pretending to be an Amish guy. And he goes, bam, knocks his ass out.
I want to see a one-man show where Ralph recreates
the whole movie.
Oh, it's so good.
It'd be so fun.
Yeah. This One Direction thing's got to be snuffed out, right?
Well,
it's got to be stopped.
Seem to like them.
No.
Like is an understatement.
No, it's nuts. It's crazy. It's scary. It's cultish.
It's the new cultish, crazy, over-the-top, unbelievable fad that if you're not aware of.
This is every teen idol, though. This is how it works.
Doesn't mean it's good.
They come out, they're white hot.
It's like every dictator murders everyone in his own country. It's just the way it works. It's supposed to be that way.
No, it's good men have to stand up and be counted.
What's going on with One Direction?
It's just craziness. Their album, first of all, debuted at number one here in the States. They're from the UK. An accomplishment never before achieved by a British band.
Never before.
Not the Beatles, not the Stones, not the Kinks, not any British band
ever.
For a
debut album, right, yeah.
Wow. craziness. Their summer U.S. tour is completely sold out, and they're playing like the Enormo domes around the country. Yesterday was revealed they're going to play New York's Madison Square Garden in December, and they're expecting those tickets to go to sell out immediately once they go on sale on April the 6th. And they're going to be the musical guest on this weekend's Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of...
It's dominated. They're trying to take our country, people. This is an invasion. This isn't a band. This is an invasion.
They're not trying. They're doing.
They have to be stopped. Have you heard the music on top of it all?
It's not good.
Judge for yourself.
Holy!
Oh, come on. This isn't...
How is that popular? I don't get that. That's number one?
Not. Here's One Direction.
But that's not.
You're insecure. Don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up.
A little Weezer-ish.
What?
A little.
Not even.
Everyone else in the room can see.
Well, Weezer's not so silly.
Everyone else but you. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed.
But the way you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed.
Well, they did say that.
They're overwhelmed by hair flipping.
But that's, I mean,
you don't know you're beautiful. And that's what makes you beautiful.
That's not that
different. No, you know what makes them beautiful? Giant cans and clear skin
and pretty face.
Pretty face and DSLs.
This is a typical hit song, though.
It's New Kids on the Block. It's Take
Stop
That.
Stop defending.
You can't say that.
Wow.
It is, but you can't say that.
Well, how is that any better or worse than a New Kids on the Block or Backstreet Boys or Take That or 98 Degrees song?
I'm saying just put them on Nickelodeon and be done with it.
They're all the same. It's just a formula that appeals to teenage girls, and this too will pass, believe me.
Oh, listen, one of those guys
who's doing this, by the
18,
way, while I listen to that music. This is what he's
just
doing.
Broke up with his 35-year-old girlfriend. Who's like a newscaster.
How much do you people know about
what
this?
What is wrong with you people in the One Direction? See, Kevin, this is like one of those movies where the aliens come and one by one they lay the pods.
Yes.
And the people start to get taken over and replicated. Lisa's gone. Bean's gone. I'm telling you.
Gone. I'm
we
no
have
fan.
To arm ourselves and we have to make a bunker and we got to barricade ourselves because One Direction's taken over.
I'm not
hell?
A fan. All I'm saying is it just sounds like every other.
Fine.
It's the same.
I love them. Pass the lotion.
Yeah.
Where's my tube sock?
Obviously.
Die in a fire.
They're going to go away. They can't last that long. They never do.
That's what they said about Hitler.
No, it's not.
That's exactly what they said. Oh, no, I did. Remember? Appeasement. Oh, he's just a cranky German. Give him Poland. It'll be fine. He'll go away. The English were like, oh, I say, old chap, he's fine. Let's just stay out of this conflict, shall we? Next thing you know, bombing. They're bombing. It's the
but
Blitz,
sure.
baby. The Blitz.
But I'm not sure One Direction is that.
I'm sure they
Although
didn't think
it's
Hitler
close.
Was either.
It's very close.
Yeah.
So what's your point? Buy One Direction album, support them, enjoy them? Is that what you're saying?
That's
I didn't
exactly
get the message.
What
what's
yes.
your point, Bean?
Penis, penis, penis.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought. Right. You're short two penises. There are five of them in the band. Today's celebrity birthdays. Craig T. Nelson, coach, 68 years old today.
Parenthood. So yep. good on that show, Ralph. You don't watch that show. He's very, very good. He's the patriarch of the family.
All right. One Direction's great. Craig T. Nelson's wonderful. We understand. You love everything.
Great.
It's great. Enjoy.
Enjoy your life. Craig T. Nelson is a, if turns out to be a good actor.
Hope
that's
you
all
die
I'm
in
saying.
A fire. That's all I'm saying.
Him too?
Yes.
All right.
Hugo Weaving from The Matrix, Lord of the Rings, and Captain America. He was the Red Skull. Yeah. Oh, the Red Skull's fine. He's not a problem.
Like
just
Skull.
Leave him alone. Next thing you know, he's trying to bomb us.
He's misunderstood.
Takes a super soldier to stop him. He's 52 years old today. Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man himself, turns 47. David Blaine, magician. Used to be. 39
sort of.
Years old.
Yeah.
Jamie Lynn Spears, baby sister of Britney, is 21 years old today. Natasha Lyonne from Slums of Beverly Hills and American Pie, soon to be seen in American Reunion, turns 33 years old today. And singer Josh Todd of Buck Cherry, who I think Kevin still owes money to, is 41 years old.
I lost money to him on a flight playing poker.
Yes, you did.
A lot.
A lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to have to start this one early, I think, because we have too many guests tomorrow. We have Bam Margera on the program talking about Punk'd.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We have Coco, who is Ice
T's
wife.
And they have a reality show called Ice Loves Coco. So we're going to be talking to her.
She has the biggest ass of any white woman in the world.
She's got the
biggest
cans, and the biggest too. Cans as well.
Yeah.
We also have in studio from Community, Joel McHale.
What How the what?
We have the co-writer and director of The Avengers, Joss Whedon, on tomorrow's show. Joss. We have Adam Carolla on tomorrow's show. And we have comedian Jim Jefferies.
That's too much.
All on tomorrow morning's Kevin Beach.
Can One Direction be on? I love them.
He's going to be playing, of course, Saturday's April Foolishness, and we have your tickets as well tomorrow for the We Are Better Than You section. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.